The audience in the back is applauding. No one's sure what for. In case you're wondering what's happened at WWDC, we're about 5 minutes away from them starting the coverage. And we'll let you know as soon as we get an indication that it started. This is WWDC coverage on live.twit.tv. We will be bringing what Steve Jobs says as he says it and what we think about it as we go along. So you don't have to sit there and be bored. You can listen to it. This coverage is brought to you by Slingbox. Slingbox lets you watch your home TV anywhere you go. And on most portable devices, including iPhones, iPod Touches, via Wi-Fi, Blackberries, laptop, MacBooks, you go to Best Buy, purchase Slingbox, bring it home, and you get all the TV from your house wherever you want it. You wanna go to Zambia like Alex did and watch your home TV and not be blacked out because you're not in North America? Use Slingbox. You can do that as long as you can get a good net connection.
It's coming. Yeah. It's coming with fiber everywhere.
You can watch programs, watch live TV, pre-recorded shows from your DVR even. Any of the same shows you watch on TV at home, new movies, or any other program type, check out Slingbox at a Best Buy near you or slingbox.com/twit. And we're still waiting for the WWDC keynote to kick off. Apple's usually pretty on time, so we can expect it to start pretty sharp at 10, don't you think?
I think so. I think we'll see it quickly.
Do we hear any audio on that
nope.
On that Ustream? Are they gone?
They're very slowly scrolling a message, but I can't quite make out what it is.
Something about having patience. Yeah. Please have patience. They caught us. We're in the back room.
Yeah.
They're beating us with a rubber truncheon right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the danger with the video stream. With the audio stream, it's really easy to grab an audio stream and run it. With the video stream, obviously, the ability to triangulate it is a little bit easier. Well, yeah, I was kind of surprised that everything lasted. I think everything lasted the last time without Leo for so long. I think it was partially because it was Leo. Like, it's not some random person you didn't necessarily want to. But I think that Apple's probably a little tighter this time. I know in the past they've escorted people out that have been shooting video.
Oh, yeah. I've seen them. I've seen both things happen. I've seen them ask people, please put that down now. And I've seen them just grab them and say, all right.
You got to go.
You're gone. It's like being at a concert. I remember I was at a Flight of the Conchords concert, and I was holding up my camera for too long to take a picture.
Right.
And they said, you're shooting video. And I'm like, no, I'm just trying to frame it right. Take it down.
Well, it seems like it's not even worth it anymore, you know, to try to stop people, because everybody's got a video camera. I mean, it is one of the more insane things when you think about it, that everybody has a video and still camera now.
The announcement came out, morning, ladies and gentlemen. Please turn off all cell phones and PDAs. PDAs?
PDAs?
A lot of people with PDAs in the audience?
Please turn off all cell phones.
Does your iPad not have to be turned off then?
I guess not.
Oh, good one.
There
yeah.
you go.
You found the loophole.
Mm-hmm. I mean...
Whoa. Uh-oh. This is not a good sign. That's you guys. The guy that we thought was going to be our streaming source is now streaming us.
Oh, well. These things happen.
Look at that.
It's a much blockier version of me.
Yeah, exactly. I think I feel like I've gained my weight back. I think people are probably going to listen to that announcement about as well as they listen to it on the plane.
Yeah. No, I understand turning off your ringtone. You don't want a bunch of phones going off, but why would you turn off your PDA?
Yeah.
That was the 8-bit version of us, somebody said in the chat room. I liked that. On the Ustream. If you want to see the 8-bit version of it. Yeah.
Oh, that's like the 4-bit version. Yeah.
Even worse. Turn off your cell phones and PDAs, Eric.
Yeah.
9:59.
People are cheering again in the back of the hall. Again, seemingly for no reason.
Because they just like being there.
Yeah, they're like, woohoo.
Because they were paid to cheer.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we're going to start off with a lot of numbers as usual.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get into a discussion of iPhone OS 4. That's where I think it's going to go first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah, a little gloating.
It's going to be a long trod through OS 4 with a bunch of developers coming off and showing off apps that they're making to take advantage, especially games. I think you're right. And then at about 10:55... Or 10:42, maybe it should be 10:42. That seems to be
yes
more often. They bring out iPhone or HD or whatever they
think. Right, whatever the new...
I kind of think iPhone HD. That's my best guess at what they would call it.
Yeah. Do we think it's going to be 9? The rumor is 960 by 580?
Something right? like that.
960 by 600.
540 maybe?
It's not. It's actually larger because it's a slightly higher. So I think it's... I think it's something like 960 by 600 or 960 by 580 or something like that.
Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World just ramped up in volume. Audience went silent and massive applause as the audience camera panned to people holding up iPads. They had four iPads that spelled out WWDC.
Oh.
Isn't that special? So we're about to expect Steve Jobs to hit the stage. Do you think they'll do it again where they have Steve just sort of master of ceremonies and take the pressure off him like they did last time? Bring up other people to sort of introduce different segments?
I think that he's trying to. I think that there is a conscious effort on Apple to try to take some of the focus away from Steve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's not, because I think that they have to. I think especially over his health problems in the past. I think that was a real reality check for them of we're going to need to, be a little bit more, we need to start.
And here he comes. He's taking the stage. Standing ovation. Everyone's surprised to see him. Not really. Jim Didrikson says the iPads spelling out WWDC was stolen from Dignation. So there you go. So we can only imagine Steve standing up, smiling, holding his hands out.
Yeah, exactly. It's this.
And the beaming faces. What's he wearing? Standard black turtleneck and blue jeans.
A surprise.
Starts out with, "It's great to be here," as you might expect. Audience yells, "We love you, Steve." Steve's response, "Thank you, I think." Come on, Steve. Be nicer. Could be nicer than that.
WWDC sold out. 5,200 attendees.
They don't really need Macworld when they have WWDC. This is the focus for them. This gets to the people that make the things that make their products work.
Well, and I think the developers need Macworld. You know, the OS X, especially the OS X developers. I think that there's a real opportunity, and I don't think it's necessarily for the individuals walking through Macworld. I think it's for the press. I know it's easier for us to get to everybody and see things and highlight them.
He says they have a great conference for you guys. This week, the developers. Over 5,200 attendees, 57 countries, sold out in 8 days. BlizzCon sold out in like 1 day, just saying.
For how many people?
Probably more people.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Still trying to dig up if we can find some kind of audio feed or video feed. Eric's on it over there. If you hear one, pop it in the chat room. So he's going to start with the updates on the iPad and give you a look at what happens there. This will be the stats part, right? This will be the numbers. This is where we're
doing well.
Yeah. We sold this many iPads in this much time with these number of apps, making this amount of money.
And probably won't be a lot of comments of, "We thought we'd do this better, and it turned out that was a mistake." No, this isn't really the part of the... It's mostly going to be gloating.
Aaron B. points out BlizzCon has cosplay and WWDC does not. Unless you count the people in black turtlenecks and blue jeans walking around as cosplay. It is magical. 10:03 a.m. It only took 3 minutes to get to the word magical. Talking about the iPad. Talking about how the iPad changed the web, email, photos, maps. Because it got a girl interested in him at a cafe. Cites an email he got about a guy agreeing the iPad is magical because it helped get a girl interested in him at a cafe. Well, Steve does read his email.
Yeah, apparently, and responds.
Yeah. Very tersely sometime.
Yeah.
So here we go. Here come the avalanche of numbers. 2 million sold. One sold every 3 seconds. iPad now in 10 countries. Only 10 countries, actually. That's not that many.
No.
I mean, compared to the 80 or so that the iPhone's in.
Right. Well, and it sounds like they're going to roll it out one country at a time, which I think is interesting because, you know, in Africa, you know, there's a lot of the countries that still don't have the iPhone.
Yeah.
And you see them everywhere. They're just all jailbroken.
It's a gray market, right?
And they just jailbreak everything, and which is very tempting.
Oh, show enough video of press coverage of the iPad from a bunch of different news outlets. Yeah. That's a new take in these.
There's emails. Some kind of feedback loop there, I think.
Yeah. You're gonna get some sort of distortion.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder the various press coverage is all the people that he gave the iPad to early. I'm almost certain of that.
Not that you're bitter.
No, just a little bit. But yeah, we can expect this to go on with the with the setup, with the numbers. We got video shows news anchors reporting on iPad, people buying iPad. This is all just getting you stoked.
It's interesting. I have found that Apple is so methodical and so generally predictable. I mean, other than what they're actually going to say, the pace and the process of all of this is almost identical. It's been almost identical for a decade.
So settle in, folks. Yeah. Your favorite beverage at your side.
Yes.
It's going to be an hour and a half, right? About?
I think an hour and a half. Yeah, I think maybe. Hour and a half. I don't think it's going to be longer than
that. I don't think it'll be longer than 90. Yeah. But they do tend to go long.
Yeah. 19 countries by the end of July.
8,500 native iPad apps currently. That's a lot more than I would have expected at this point.
I'd seen 5,000 2 weeks ago. So
yeah, they're, and being an iPad user, I've noticed more and more apps showing up with iPad versions that I had bought iPhone versions of, and now I've suddenly got an iPadified version, like Doodle Bowling, for instance. Was one where it's like, I didn't really care. Double pixeling, that was fine. But now they came out with an iPad HD, and it does look nicer. I'd rather use that. 200,000 iPhone apps. Native apps downloaded over 35 million times. 17 apps per iPad already downloaded. 17 apps per iPad. I've definitely downloaded more than that.
I've downloaded a lot more than
that. Yeah. And that doesn't count in-app purchases.
Right.
Which I've spent way too much on comic books. On the iPad.
I'm trying to stay. There's certain things I try to stay away from. I try to limit the number of games I put on it. You know, so I'm trying to keep myself focused on Plants vs. Zombies.
I have like 2 pages of games. Yeah. I still have to go back and finish all the achievements. I have all but one of the achievements in Plants vs. Zombies.
I got them all.
Did you get the one? The hard one is the one with the rolling waves where it just keeps coming. You have to last 40 times in that.
Oh, I don't know if I did. Did I?
That was the one I couldn't get.
I'm trying to think of where that. I thought I got them all.
Steve's showing off apps like Pulse, WebMD. Pulse is really hot right now.
Yeah.
Gowalla, eBay. Pulse, if you don't know, it's an RSS feed interpreter, and it turns it into a kind of a nice, newsy, picture-oriented view. Showing off games Iron Man, Avatar, Field Runners. Tremendous interest from publishers of all kinds. And showing newspaper apps because... I don't know if you saw that the Times of London now has an app, $17 a month. You buy it for $17 and you get a month worth of the Times of London. And then after a month, if you want to keep getting it, you pay another $17 in app. And it's like a subscription model.
It's like 50 cents. I don't know what it is normally. You're basically paying the same. See, I feel like, you know, this is the problem is I think as a user, you look at it and go, well, they shouldn't be charging us the same amount that they're charging for the print version.
All right, now we're getting our first actual piece of news. iBook is being updated. So this is the iPad app. And a lot of speculation that would be coming to the iPhone when the iPhone gets OS 4. Makes sense.
Right.
The only reason it's not on the iPhone is because they made it for the more advanced OS, right?
I think so, yeah. And it's although I think it would be hard to... I mean, I don't know if I'd really want to read... the books on the iPhone. I feel like it's a little too small.
I've read books on the iPhone Kindle app before.
Right.
And it's what it is with Kindle, it's nice because I've got a book at home on my Kindle. I don't want to bring my Kindle to work and back with me. Mm-hmm. So on the bus or the train, I can look through a few pages, short-term reading, so to speak.
I feel like the iBooks, I feel like the whole iBook store Kindle thing is all a kind of a thing in the middle because we've got all this print content that we have to do something with. But I think that when we look at things like Elements, which they were showing a little earlier, I think that's the future of books.
5 of the 6 biggest publishers in the U.S. say the share of ebooks on iBook Store is now 22%. 2.5 books per iPad in just 8 weeks, expected to increase as more iPads are shipped. We apologize, by the way, if you're trying to get us on Ustream. Ustream is down, but we're working on it. Do you have the Gadget live blog up? They've got some good pictures in there. Yeah.
Sure. I've been showing in Gadget. Let me check them out.
Ryan Block's got some good stuff. Showing the pictures that they've got, huge, you know, pictures of the iPad behind Steve. So he's talking about the features. You can highlight, make notes. Now you can make notes. In addition, we've added a control to just tap and bookmark a page under table of contents. You'll see all the notes, highlights, and bookmarks. So these are just added features to the new iBooks app.
PDFs, the ability to view and read PDFs. So that's another big enhancement that was a, I know for me, I felt like that was a real juggling act.
Yeah, that got some massive applause.
Yeah.
Because he gave them something that should have been in there in the first place.
Only Apple could give you stuff that should have been there first, and everyone's
yo, thank goodness, feature. You've saved us.
You guys are so great.
But yeah, that was I've used that feature on the Kindle a ton, putting PDFs onto the Kindle. So this is nice to have. I really haven't used iBook to read much, though. I've been using the Kindle app on my iPad.
Yeah, I don't read that much. So, you know, I'm really looking at all the specialty stuff, the stuff that we're seeing with the custom apps that are being built for the stuff, as much as just a regular page going back and forth. I haven't been that excited about that. I mean, I think it's great that they're doing it. I think it's great to have that availability.
And the navigation of the PDFs will work just like regular iBooks. Those enhancements out later this month because that would give away something later in the presentation if he told you the date.
Right.
Yeah. And so we're moving on to the App Store next. So we're out of numbers land. We're into the mini announcements. What's going to come from the App Store?
Oh, they're going to talk about HTML5. Oddly enough, it's kind of surprised because I always felt like Apple wasn't really into HTML5. I think that
they don't say much about it, do they?
No, they don't talk about that at all.
They don't create whole galleries that only work in Safari. fully open, uncontrolled platform forged by widely respected standards bodies, says Steve, and. How is this the App Store?
Yeah, I'm
guess
not sure.
Because you can write any app in HTML5. I do use a couple of apps that are written so that you can save them as it's not a bookmark. What's it called when you save it to your home screen?
Oh yeah.
And then you can launch it, and they actually work offline.
Yeah.
There's a great time zone app.
Do you I don't have that one, but yeah. I've seen it.
But you pull it up in the Safari browser, you save it to the desktop, and then it doesn't matter whether you have a connection or not, it'll still work.
Right.
So that's the kind of thing that you can use HTML5 for.
Well, and I think that there's a lot of opportunity with HTML5 if you can get, especially by being able to add a more rich experience to video, for instance, which I think is actually limited a little bit in the apps.
Apple's browser's in the lead with supporting HTML5, says Steve. They are behind it 100%. The second platform, you can develop in two platforms, is what he's saying right now. You can develop in HTML5, the open standard, or you can develop an App Store, the curated platform. He's trying to address the concerns about the App Store being censorship or stuff getting kicked out or not being open. He's saying HTML5 is our open side. The App Store is the curated side.
We're not controlling it. We're simply curated is a nice word.
It's very politically correct. He's saying 95% of apps are approved within 7 days. So he's trying to combat that idea that it takes forever to get your app approved.
Three top reasons that they don't get approved. The app doesn't function as advertised.
Well, that would be a good reason not to approve an app.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it doesn't do what the developer says.
Right.
Those two kind of prime. Use of private APIs. Well, this is where I think there should be a setting in the iPhone OS that allows third-party apps to use whatever APIs they want. And if you go in there, you're geeky enough to go in there and turn that on, you should be allowed to run whatever apps you want on your phone.
I think the concern is really the whole... I think that the argument against that would be, if that's what you want to do, you should jailbreak it.
Well, yeah.
If you're geeky enough that you want private APIs, just jailbreak the phone.
But Apple, yeah, absolutely. No, you're right. In reality.
Because Apple hasn't really... They've said things about jailbreaking, but they've kind of just let it kind of live in its own ecosystem. And actually, talked to someone kind of connected to the process, and he said, you know, in some ways it's good for Apple because it's because that's kind of a big beta test of ideas. And
developers who use private APIs know exactly what they're doing. Steve's accusing them.
Right.
They don't allow private APIs because they're not guaranteed, and they could break when the iPhone OS is updated. Three, they don't approve apps because they crash. Well, that makes sense. So he's really being a little defensive here.
I think in some ways he has to. There's been a big firestorm.
It is the developers.
Right. He's talking to them about it. I think this is his chance to be standing in front of the developers and say, you know, here are the things you got to avoid.
Dins in the chat room says 98% of fart apps are approved within 17 seconds.
Longer than the fart itself.
So they're going on to the eBay app, which this was one of the first apps when they first introduced apps to the iPhone OS. And I still don't understand why you need an eBay app. People have explained to me why they love it and everything, but
you have to be able to buy stuff wherever you
are. Can't you just use
Safari? This is a consumer environment, and it has to be customized, and you have to, like, no matter where, it has to be easy to purchase things. I mean, it's your patriotic duty.
That's true. I'm a bad American. Three new apps being shown from the entertainment category. Reed Hastings now coming. Here we go. Now the parade of stars begins.
Do-do-do.
Reed Hastings from Netflix coming on stage to discuss Netflix on the iPhone. I loved Netflix on the iPad until last night when it crashed. It kept crashing on me, and I think Netflix was just having a site problem. Because really, the Netflix app is pretty much just a web browser.
Right.
Kind of encapsulating that part of Netflix that allows you to stream. And it makes it nice and slick. I think it's a good thing. But
and then you have a Roku, right?
I have a Roku as well, yeah.
Do you use it?
Yeah, we use it. Actually, last night I was in the bedroom laying down trying to get over my cold, trying to watch something on the Netflix app on my iPad while my wife was out in the other room using the Roku to watch a romantic comedy with our dogs. So Netflix for iPhone coming this summer. So you'll be able to watch the Netflix app on your iPhone. Not really the greatest, not the best platform for watching movies. But again, that's sort of like if you just want to maybe watch a TV show and you're in the airport, and you don't want to pull out the iPad, don't have an iPad.
Right.
That's good. And now they're demonstrating it.
I have been surprised at how long I've actually watched whole movies on the iPhone. Just, you know, not thinking that I was going to, just kind of turning them on. And suddenly, I realized that I got through the whole movie. But I do have to admit, once you have the iPad,
the best platform. We're getting a few links to different streams that purport to be from inside. Most of them suck, but we may try them out as we go along here.
Trying out one right now. It's taking a while to load.
Yeah, well, because all of these things are getting slammed. Ustream isn't just down for Twit; it's down for everybody. But this. This mentioning Netflix coming to the iPhone, that plays into AT&T changing their charging patterns,
right?
You know, because people are going to be using a lot more data if they can do that.
That had you can only imagine there had to have been some kind of private conversation going. If you're going to start streaming videos over 3G, you know, we can't go down that path.
He's discussing how a film could be stopped on any device and resumed on any device. So that makes that Kindle situation I was talking about earlier apply to Netflix, where I can actually stop a movie on my Roku at home and then pick it up on my iPhone app and start watching, you know, that TV show right where I left off. That's pretty cool.
That's really nifty.
I wish Comixology would get that for their comics.
Although I have to admit, I haven't felt like that whole mix between all my computers and my iPhone and my iPad has been as smooth as I expected it. You know, they say that and you go, oh, that's really cool. And I still find that it's not.
Now, this is sort of trying to read the tea leaves. He says adaptive bitrate technology utilized in the Netflix app allows you to seamlessly switch between networks even on the go, but he doesn't mention 3G compatibility specifically. But that seems to imply, I mean, what other networks would you be switching from unless it's Wi-Fi to 3G?
Well, and a lot of that technology has been, you know, really running pretty heavy for a while, for whether it's QuickTime or I know that Silverlight has been doing a lot of that, where it's sending you all these packets in many different versions, and it just simply, you know, downshifts or upshifts based on its bandwidth.
Farmville time. Mark Pincus, CEO of Zynga, taking stage, introducing farming for the iPhone.
I don't really get Farmville.
Do you play Wii Rule?
I'm trying to stay away from it.
I've never played Farmville. I've stayed far away from Farmville, but then I got sucked into WeRule, and I was, from what people tell me to play both, like Leo, it's just as bad. It totally plays on your that part of your brain that's compelled to.
It's like Civilization.
Know, yeah, yeah. You've got to plant the thing and
wait for the thing.
And yeah.
I have a problem that if I can
let people down if you don't deliver the magicians to them on time.
He says more people have played Zynga games than watched the season finales of Lost in 24.
Yeah, because they were playing while they were watching.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Multitasking.
That's so this is the parade of apps that we expected.
Yeah.
Well, we might have
and
wait for the thing.
And yeah, that sounds like me.
Oh.
do you have our stream open?
Yeah. That guy we thought we were going to get at first just totally switched ours.
Everybody's switching back. So now they're just demonstrating the Farmville client. That sounds like a jazz club. That doesn't sound like the keynote.
Yeah, that doesn't sound. That just sounds like background somewhere.
Yeah, that's outside the Moscone Center. Different functionalities of the Farmville client for the iPhone being demonstrated right now. They've made very, very few announcements so far. Just that iBooks would be updated with some bookmarking and coming later this month.
I'm starting to feel like this might be one of the shorter presentations.
Netflix app coming to the iPhone. It didn't say when, though. This summer. That's all they said.
Summer.
And now we're getting a Farmville client for the iPhone.
You can get push notifications for withering crops.
See, that's important. Because if you let your pumpkins die, then what are you doing?
I know, why are you just imagine there? You're in some meeting and suddenly you get a push notification. Oh, I got to go back to Farmville. My crops are dying.
You say that because you haven't played. You just don't understand the importance of these things.
I am. It's not. No.
Farm anytime, anywhere. That's the quote.
Tractoring just got cooler.
Well, this is no surprise. This is actually kind of boring to me, honestly. Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of WeRule and Zombie Farm type apps already for the iPhone. The fact that Zynga's bringing one, okay, great.
Right.
They're the leader. They're the most popular. It's nice to see that, but...
According to Macworld, the crowd is a little unruly. Probably because they're like, okay, let's move on.
Yeah, doesn't Steve usually reserve this parade of developers for like the middle of the keynote?
I think that usually they want to get over, you know, there's just a bunch of pump up that goes on at the beginning to make sure that we're all clear that things are going well. I think that was a little shorter than I expected, you know, the pump up.
You can buy a snow leopard on the iPhone version of Farmville.
70 million active users.
And Pincus says, I'd just like to say, if you don't regularly farm, you should. Because it's important for our economy.
It's definitely important for his economy.
All Facebook friends can be accessed in Farmville for the iPhone, as well as the same social functionality found on Facebook.
Are you still a Facebooker?
I do. I have explained it that I never put anything into Facebook that I didn't expect would become public
right.
at some point, because I never really trusted them. First, I just didn't know who they were. I'm like, I'm not putting anything in there. And then as things went along, I'm like, you know, I don't feel the need to fill this out completely.
I just had it like all my, you know, I had all these friends that had it, and I don't have any need for it to be particularly private.
Coming by the end of the June for the 1 year anniversary of the launch of Farmville, the Farmville app. That's the biggest announcement so far at this WWDC keynote.
We got tractors out there.
iBook, Netflix, Farmville.
Activision, next.
Ah, talking about Guitar Hero.
Ooh.
Very nice. And Sunken Planet just leveled up on WeRule as we were talking. So it's very relevant to him that we were talking about Farmville.
Right.
Yeah, Guitar Hero is doing some interesting stuff to try to keep relevant and keep fresh. So they're going to tell us how great Guitar Hero is first before they tell us what they're bringing.
They're developing a brand new Guitar Hero experience exclusively for the iPhone and iPod Touch.
Well, that sounds like a real applause. What do we got there? That's like a long applause.
It sounds like a loop.
That sounds like sound effect.
It just keeps going. Oh, wait. It's great to be here.
Thank you very much. Oh, that's the beginning.
Uh-oh.
It's great to be here. That was the opening of WWDC.
Slightly delayed.
New Guitar Hero shows 3D rock stars that are fully customizable. That's pretty nice. Comes with classic rock like Queen and Rolling Stones, as well as new artists like Rise Against. You got a good source for photos there?
I've been looking back and forth at Engadget and GDGT.
GDGT's got a shot of the Guitar Hero thing right now that we've got up. Oh, yeah, there's the GDGT one. New strumming mechanic. Trying to make the gameplay perfect. Gameplay similar to classic Guitar Hero. This doesn't seem that great.
No, I've never...
This is the long, boring slog of
yeah, this is the stuff that... Well, and you have to... You know, part of it is also promoting these app developers who are doing something that's, you know, that's pushing forward. It's inspiring the other ones, but it's also giving them, you know, that... I mean, it's an incredible amount of exposure for the app developers that Apple's bringing up. So that's their big... You know, I think that's also spreading a little love that keeps them connected.
Showing a gameplay trailer. New strumming mechanic utilizes multi-touch display to make the gameplay perfect. Ain't it perfect?
Perfect gameplay?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We should do a hyperbole count.
Yeah, exactly, because it's magical. Point.
Yeah. Awesome. Fantastic.
Incredible.
Amazing.
Perfect.
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 Did I mention perfect?
I think perfect's a
new version of Guitar Hero on sale today for your iPhone and iPod Touch at $299, and Steve is back on stage. Thank goodness.
According to him, it's very cool.
5,000 apps on the App Store, and I've got.
That's still behind.
That's still behind. That's from earlier.
That's like,
it's like tape delayed.
Yeah, it's 20 minutes behind.
So that actually wasn't as bad as it could have been. We're only 27 minutes in.
And we're past it?
Yeah.
We're
past the developer show.
I don't know. We're past the games.
We're past the game show.
Now we have to move. We still have medical. We have legal.
Right.
We have construction.
Productivity.
Productivity. I think we're going to see,
Crossed 5 billion total downloads on the App Store last week.
That's a lot of bits. That's all I got to say.
So what is he going to say next?
I think he's going to be talking about how much money have they paid out to developers? $1 billion.
His favorite stat. How much money makes for other people.
We have sent checks out for $1 billion.
You gotten any of those checks? I haven't.
No, I haven't. But I haven't released any apps.
No, me either.
I think it's one of those you have to play to win. Evidently, if you just think about an app and talk to people about it, you don't get paid. That's what I've learned from some experience.
That's sad. Why is that?
I don't know.
And all the developers are obviously cheering right now about the billion-dollar apps. Now he's going to talk about the iPhone. Now we get to the meat. Now we get to the thing that's really why we all decided to spend our time paying attention to this. $1 billion. He's going to talk about the iPhone, not the iPhone OS. Am I reading too much into that?
I think we're going to hear some stuff about the iPhone OS. I think it's connected to the iPhone. I think there's a lot of things they couldn't say until the iPhone gets. I think you have to show the hardware first, and then show how the software is going to play into that.
Yeah. It's WWDC coverage here on the Twit Network, brought to you by Slingbox. Slingbox is a way to let you watch your TV anywhere on any portable device, including iPhones and iPod Touches, Blackberries, laptops, and MacBooks. Go to Best Buy, purchase a Slingbox, and bring it home. Hook up your Slingbox to your TV and your internet. Then you can watch your TV anywhere you go, including your DVR, all your shows, pre-recorded shows from your DVR. You're in a hotel halfway across the world. You can watch your home TV without being blacked out. Any of the same shows you watch on your TV at home, sports, news, movies, or any other program, check out Slingbox at a Best Buy near you or at slingbox.com/twit.
We've got Nielsen reports for
so
Q1.
We're back in a few numbers, huh?
Yeah. So RIM is number one with 35%. iPhone number two with 28%. Windows Mobile, 19%.
Android at 9%, he points out.
Not that he's rubbing it in.
Yeah, he's rubbing it in. He's enjoying this.
He's got a nice little keynote chart for it, too.
Yeah, he does. We should throw that keynote chart up. I see it on...
I see it on Ars Technica.
On the Ars Technica feed? Okay. Yeah. It's the thing about these things. If you're not, you got to have about four different live blogs going at once
because they're all typing, but they're not. It's not all quite.
It's not all in sync.
And it's a completely different take. There's like these different side comments from each one too.
Yeah. So now he's going to put things into perspective for us. 2007, iPhone reinvents the phone. It's hard to remember what it was like before the iPhone, says Steve, and thus makes it so. I can no longer remember what it was like.
I do have to admit, I tend to refer back to it going, there was the time before iPhone and the time after iPhone.
It is hard for me to realize that this is actually the third iPhone that I've owned. It's
right.
It's not a continuous device because they feel so seamless when you go from one upgrade to another.
Yeah.
So can you go to that? Let's see. Looks like there might be a live audio stream.
He's claiming that this is going to be the biggest leap.
No, it's not.
This is the big one, evidently, according to Steve.
Did you get it out of the chat?
You're out of the Skype. I see your URL.
All new design, huh? Now we're getting something.
I think we were kind of expecting that.
This is really hot. 100 new features. Not enough time for all of them. They're only going to cover 8 of them today. Are you getting it up?
Here it comes.
All right. I think we got some audio for you.
Beautiful design I've ever seen.
Beautiful design.
The most beautiful.
The most precise thing, one of the most beautiful things we've ever made. Glass on the front and rear, and stainless steel running around, and the precision with which this is made.
A lot of you have already seen this, he said.
Beyond any consumer product we've ever seen. It's close akin, it's like a beautiful old Leica camera. It's unheard of in consumer products today. Just gorgeous. And it's really thin.
It's really gorgeous
this
and really
is
thin.
The new iPhone 4.
Yeah, turn it down because it's the clapping.
Well, now that he said all that, it does look a lot nicer than it did during the Gizmodo.
iPhone 4.
Yes.
9.3 millimeters thick. That's 24% thinner than the iPhone GS. Again, a quarter thinner and something you didn't think could get any thinner. As a matter of fact, it is the thinnest smartphone on the planet.
Yeah, you're going to have to ride that because it gets really annoying when people clap at everything.
Two of the external things on it. Here are the volume controls. Volume up,
you know, I've noticed that Steve is very obsessed with thin. He's very thin.
We have a front-facing camera.
Well, I think the gadget world is obsessed with it. So not just him.
We have a camera and an LED flash.
Front-facing camera and a micro SIM tray.
And a camera and an LED flash.
And if we look on the top, we've got the headset jack, we've got a second mic for noise cancellation, and the screen.
Noise cancellation, that's nice.
Because there have been a few photos of this around,
I didn't catch that. What was it?
This doesn't seem like Apple. What are these?
Because there have been a few photos of this around.
This beautiful stainless steel band. Well, it turns out there's not just one of them. There's three of them.
A black and a white one.
And they are part
of the entire structure of this phone. That stainless steel band that runs around is the primary structural element of the phone. And there are these three slits in it. It turns out this is part of some brilliant engineering.
Oh, it's part of brilliant engineering.
Which actually uses the stainless steel band as part of the antenna system.
This is their trying to improve the iPhone reception because right. there's been a lot of talk about whether the iPhone is actually part of the problem in the right. data retention. So those bands, those grooves, are part of an antenna system.
Antennas right in the structure of the phone. It's never been done before.
Which is why you'd want to take it out to a bar to test it.
Right. We need to test that antenna.
Ever. It uses stainless steel for strength.
Stainless steel for
glass
strength.
On the front and back.
I was waiting for Space Age.
And scratches. It's got integrated antennas and extraordinary build quality. Again, I don't think there's another consumer product like this. When you hold this in your hands, it's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
So this is our all-new
I don't believe it.
But is it magical?
The iPhone 4.
iPhone 4 is the name.
And I thought it was going to be called. I thought it was going to be called Sugar. iPhone.
I really thought iPhone HD, but all right, yeah. iPhone 4. Even though it's yeah, it's the fourth. Yeah.
What's that? In any display, there are pixels. Here's four of them. The retina display by dramatically increasing the pixel density. Four times as many pixels in the same amount of space. Now, why is that important? Well, let's make more pixels, and let's say we want to draw the letter A. And this is the outside boundary of one of the strokes of a letter, the letter A. Well, as you can see, we turn on pixels inside that stroke, we can get far more precision the more pixels we have. And we play all sorts of tricks by putting different levels of gray pixels on that line as well to try to fuzz it for our eye. But when we zoom out of this, what you can see is that because we have four times as many pixels, we get really, really sharp text compared to what we normally get on displays with lesser resolution.
That's like the kindergarten
now,
version of anti-aliasing.
Yeah, right.
Has 326
DPI?
I think that's what he said.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Three.
Never been a display like this on a phone. People haven't even dreamed about a display like this on a phone. But it's more than a display.
It's more than just that.
It turns out that there's a magic number right around 300 pixels per inch. That when you hold something around 10 or 12 inches away from your eye,
with PPI pixels,
is the limit of the human retina to differentiate the pixels. And so they're so close together, when you get at this 300 pixels per inch threshold, that all of a sudden things start to look like continuous curves. Like text looks like you've seen it in a fine printed book. Unlike you've ever seen on an electronic display before. And at 326 pixels per inch, we are comfortably over that limit. And it's extraordinary. So let me give you an example of the normal display on the left and the retina display on the right. Look at the difference. Can you see it?
I can't see it because we can't see the feed, but I'm sure we'll get a picture here shortly.
Just to put it in perspective, an art magazine is really 225 to 250 pixels per inch. So
okay.
You're really talking sharp, sharp.
You can't go back. When you get to character-based languages, kanji in this case, is also striking. And it's not just text. It's images and video as well. Look at the difference. This is the same image on a normal display.
Right, this is where we're going to get a little behind. This is going to be, you know, it is. It will. I haven't seen it yet, but at that pixel depth, you're looking at really at a piece of paper. Your same resolution as paper.
The only difference is backlight,
right?
You know, would wear out your eyes a little faster. But so he's going to show some photos and a live demo of the video now. It's a little early for the iPhone. It's usually 40, 41 into, and he was...
I think we have an idea of what's going to happen with the iPad, the next version.
Uh-huh.
326. I mean, it'll be some kind of... It'll be like 1920 by 1080.
I think we'll see that today.
Yeah. I think that would cause a firestorm.
Yeah.
Can't display as many dots as are on the Retina display. So, this is pixel for pixel accurate right off these two displays. And you can really see it. Look at that folder there. Let me go inside. You can look at the icon of the folder. Compare them. Look at the text. Look at the link. Look at the icon of the compass.
So not much about the OS, actually.
Here's one thing that's interesting. With a very high resolution version, you could theoretically, the app you make for the iPad and the iPhone, this iPhone could play back the iPad stuff because it would just be as sharp, just smaller.
Yeah. Pixel halving.
Yeah, exactly.
Apple Store's not down. Nothing's going to be sold today, it doesn't look like.
Right.
So he's loading up the New York Times. And if you missed it, he was talking about how they had to get special projectors for this because of the high resolution.
Right.
To be able to show it off accurately at the keynote. Now he's asking people, he's complaining about the network and asks everyone to get off Wi-Fi so he has enough bandwidth.
I don't know what's wrong with the network.
This doesn't really happen in Apple keynotes.
Oh boy, and I've heard about what happens after. Yeah, I've heard about what happens when this happens, and it's not good. But I have to say, these close-ups that they're showing on GT,
all right,
pretty impressive.
We're gonna switch over to some backups here.
Water spots. This is unusual.
Very unusual.
Switching to backups. Something funny happened.
Let's go back to primaries. I'm afraid problem, and I'm not going to be able to show you.
Uh-oh, he's actually not going to be able to show you.
I can show you some pictures in the camera roll.
iPhone 4 now on AT&T, all kinds of error messages about not being connected to the internet.
Let's go take a look at some photos here. Take a look at that. Same photos. Any difference?
Well, I do not want to be in the meeting that comes up after this.
Photo. Big difference?
They're now showing photos of the New York Times and loading on one of the other.
What do you want to be looking at? One more time here.
Somebody in the chat room joked that Jobs went over his 2 gig limit.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't know what's going on.
So having some problems with the demonstration of the new iPhone 4, if you're just tuning in. Steve Jobs at the WWDC showing off iPhone 4 right now. Steve apologizing and asks Scott for suggestions.
Yeah, the only thing this would be an incredible setup for is if he goes, let's just switch this over to Verizon and see how well it works.
And someone shouted, try Verizon. And that concludes the demo of the iPhone 4.
Retina display. 3.5 inches, the same size as the iPad Yet with 960 by 640 pixels, that's 4 times more pixels than the iPhone 3GS. 326 pixels per inch. An 800
600 to 1 contrast ratio, which is, again, 4 times better than the 3GS. We're using IPS technology. This is a very advanced LCD technology, which is quite a bit, in our opinion, quite a bit better than the OLED technology for these types of products. And provides much more accurate color.
Pop at the Nexus One.
And much higher resolution. You can't make an OLED display with this type of resolution right now. And so we think the IPS technology is really quite secure. And it results in incredibly sharp text, images, and video. Now, again, the Retina display has got 78% of the pixels on an iPad.
Do you think this will fix the AT&T problems in San Francisco? This happened during the keynote?
But I think that they were trying to use Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think it was just...
But they look even better. Because what we do is iPhone OS automatically renders your text into higher resolution and all your controls in the higher resolution. So you get that automatically, and your apps look even better without you doing anything. But if you do a little bit of work and open up the hood of your app and put in higher resolution artwork, then they will look stunning.
So the developers don't have to do any work to take advantage of the higher resolution
because of the text. Anything your images will.
Yeah, but your text.
But your anything that's being driven by graphics will automatically improve.
And awesome video. We think this is going to set the standard for displays for the next several years. We don't think anybody's going to come close. And you know, the display is your window into the internet, into your apps, in your media, in your software. We think it may be the most important single component of the hardware. And we've got something here now that's like the best window on the planet.
The only thing I have to say is I don't quite understand the math because 326 pixels times 3.5 inches is 1,141.
Uh-huh.
And he's saying 960 by 540?
540, I think, yeah.
I'm confused. Maybe that's just the video.
960 by 640, sorry.
Okay.
But still.
They are really good. And
you missed it. It's powered by the Apple A4 chip.
Now, let me show it to you. The back of the iPhone, you take the back off. First thing you notice is the iPhone 4 is packed to the gills. There's a tremendous amount of functionality in not such a big space.
This has all been about the screen up there.
Yeah, I'm not to find the A4 chip, but it's right there. And let me just point out some of the other things. There's the micro-SIM. Remember the micro-SIM because it's smaller. You need the space. The radios, the connectors. You can see that the biggest single component in the phone is the battery. They had to make the battery a little bit bigger.
They had to make the battery bigger.
And so that's where everything is inside the phone.
Yeah, because that screen is going to drive it.
Yeah.
Now,
and the camera.
We've been able to make the battery a little
two cameras.
Bit bigger because the A4 is so good with power management, we've been able to improve the battery life as well. So we have up to 40% more talk time on 3G, from 5 hours to 7 hours now. 6 hours of 3G browsing, 10 hours of Wi-Fi browsing, 10 hours of video, 40 hours of music, and 300 hours of streaming.
Well, that's huge. 40% more talk time, 7 hours of talk, 6 hours of 3G, 10 hours of Wi-Fi, 10 hours of video, 40 hours of music, 300 hours standby. Apple's usually pretty good with their battery estimates, too. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
PVC-free and stainless steel glass are highly recyclable materials. So they're doing great.
And it's pretty. That's what he's saying.
It's pretty.
32 gigabytes of storage. Quad band HSDPA and HSUPA for 7.2 megabits per second down, 5.8 megabits per second up. That's theoretical because the carriers don't support that yet, but as they do.
The carrier.
Dual mics for noise cancellation.
That's interesting. He said carriers.
HSMN Wi-Fi.
So we've got some great hardware in the iPhone 2, the 8 Plus. Number four, we got another really cool piece of hardware. Remember when we added the accelerometer and how that opened up a whole new vista of gaming?
Okay, this has to be the
surprising. Well, we're taking it even further with the iPhone 4 because we're adding the gyroscope.
A gyroscope.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So you can now take it on your space flights.
Well, but, you know, there's that.
Which is fantastic. Pitch rolling yaw, also rotation around gravity. And we tied the gyro and the accelerometer and even the compass together to provide six-axis motion sensing. And we've got some new core motion APIs that we call to give you extremely precise position information. And it's perfect for gaming. And one of the reasons it's perfect is because it's built into every iPhone 4, so you know it's there. So what I'd love to do now is give examples.
Yeah, with those matched, it'll be incredible. The responsiveness of the phone.
Yeah, it'll really fine-tune that. Yeah. And especially things like the Yelp, the augmented reality
so
type
this application. This is the cool app that we wrote, and this is being run with the accelerometer now. As you see with the accelerometer, I can tilt it from side to side, backwards and forwards. And it doesn't move when I rotate around gravity. And the positioning is good, but not super precise. So now by tapping the word accelerometer, it's going to change the gyro. And now I get much more precise movement here. And as you can see,
evidently it works well.
Yes.
And what's incredible about this, of course, is that as a developer, you're going to have core motion. So you're not going to have to know anything about accessing this. You're just saying, just go grab that information for me, which is really what makes this so powerful.
He's showing a Jenga-looking game, apparently.
Maybe I'll take this one out.
Yeah, all the live blogs are saying this is impressive to see. Wish we could show you video. There's the Jenga game. So he's just up there playing Jenga now. And obviously doing well at it. Yeah, Mac Rumors says the rotation of the 3D objects is unbelievably smooth. And I don't think they were quoting Steve because I didn't hear him say that.
Unbelievable.
Just crazy applause right now for the accelerometer and the
I think there's a lot of developers there thinking about what they can do with that.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I can't wait to see what you guys are going to do.
We may be done close to 11 on this one.
Joins our four other sensors in every phone. We now have a gyro, the accelerometer, the compass, proximity sensor, and the ambient light sensor. These phones are getting more and more intelligent about the world around them. It's very exciting, and I can't wait to see what you guys do with the gyro grip in every iPhone. So that's number four. Number five.
So there are going to be seven point features?
I think that's what he said. I think it was eight, actually, yeah, so
right.
Halfway through.
A whole new camera system built into iPhone 4. Now, everybody loves to talk about things that are very tangible when it comes to something like megapixels. But we tend to ask the question, how do we make better pictures? And they're different things. Megapixels are nice, but what cell phone cameras are really about is capturing photons. Because the cameras are so small, the sensors are so small, the lenses are so small, that it's all about capturing photons and low-light photography. So what we've done is we've gone from a 3-megapixel to a 5-megapixel sensor. But
we're using something that has been shipping for a while in larger cameras, but it's fairly new to smartphones, and that is what's called a backside illuminated sensor. It's a way of getting a lot more photons from the sensor by getting some of the wiring and stuff out of the way. In addition to that, when most people increase their megapixels, they make those pixels smaller. When you make pixels smaller, they capture less photons. What we've done is, as we've gone from 3 to 5 megapixels, we've kept the pixels the same size, 1.75 microns. And so they don't capture less photons per pixel, and we have more pixels.
And that's an important point that people don't take into account a lot of times.
He's really good at describing these things.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like he's done this before.
Pioneer tactical focus, and we've got an LED flash system. And the pictures that we're taking off this are pretty remarkable. Of course, you can do portrait and landscape. You can see the visual zoom right there. And these are pictures that are taken right off the iPhone 4 and
Everybody thinks the pictures are pretty.
So, Alex, what is a backside illuminated sensor? Do you know about those? I've never heard of that.
I believe what it does is it reduces a lot of the errata that goes on with each pixel sensor site.
Noise-wise?
Yeah, you just get less noise.
And they didn't squeeze a bunch of pixels on just to say it was 8 megapixels or 10 megapixels.
Which is what everybody does.
Yeah.
So, this gives you as an example. That low-light photograph is hard to take with any camera, much less a phone. So we're really happy with the photos we're taking with the iPhone 4. We think we've got a great camera built in.
Blue sky to mountain always looks good.
Because the camera also records
HD video. So I'm guessing 720p recording.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if he said that. Oh, 720p at 30 frames per second. My blog had it before our audio.
Now, when Pioneer tapped to focus your still photos, we now have tap-to-focus video. And we have built-in video editing for trimming your clips right on the phone. And one-click sharing to share your photos. And the LED flash also will stay on to illuminate scenes for video recording. And so you can actually
record
HD video right on your phone, edit it right on your phone, and then with a few taps, email it, send it to MMS, send it to MetaMe, send it to YouTube. It's pretty remarkable.
Now, just
but we're going even further than that. Because what we've done is we've written an application ourselves.
Oh, man. Here it comes.
Final cut for the iPhone?
iMovie for the iPhone.
iMovie, yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
And rather than tell you about it, I want to show it to you. And to show it to you, it's my great pleasure to invite Randy Weeblos. He's one of our incredible engineers. He's the chief architect for all our video apps. I'd like Randy to come up and show us to you.
So just to pour a little water on the HD thing, I don't think that chip can actually resolve 720 pixels. I mean, it may be recording them, but I think that you'll end up with, if you scale half, it'll look better.
Or even that little tiny plastic lens, right?
Yeah.
So this is Randy Ubios, chief architect of video applications.
He designed
HD video, edit beautiful scene transitions and titles, and share your finished movies all on the device you carry in your pocket every day. It's really amazing. Let me show it to you.
They all read from the same book, don't they?
So we're going to bring this up. And you can see the icon there. I'll go ahead and tap on that. So once we bring up the application, you get a list of all the projects that you have. And I'm going to go ahead and just tap on this project. And now we get my editing environment. I can see the clips that I have edited in this project down here along the bottom. I'm going to go ahead and rotate the phone over, so you go to landscape. You see I got the same view here. And let's go ahead and do a little bit of editing on this. I can record directly into the timeline if I want, or I can choose from the existing clips and photos that are on the device. We've got my video down here, and I'll just scroll down. Let's pick this clip and put this in, and then I can pinch and change the scale of
kind of hard to tell what's going on here, but he's describing how the iMovie works. You can record directly into timeline, choose from clips and photos on the device, pinch changes scale of the timeline. It's something that's harder to follow if you can't see it, but he's basically showing off how iMovie on the iPhone works like iMovie does on the desktop.
Except without a keyboard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is a big deal.
A nice picture here that's got the whole group. So go ahead and choose that. Now, once I've got that in there, I can tap on it, and photos automatically get Ken Burns effect on them. So I can go ahead and adjust that. I'll go back to the beginning, and I can pan around, I can zoom in, and you'll see that as we go from the beginning to the end, I'll get a nice Ken Burns effect on that. I can also use clean transition. So I'm going to go ahead.
I'm so tired of the Ken Burns.
And I'm going to switch it from the cross dissolve.
There's nothing else to do with the photo, though. If you get to a still,
he's going to put a title on the first clip. I'll just double tap on it. I'll select title, and I'll choose an open title. I'll just go ahead and tap, and I'll give it a nice title here.
I always wonder if he does he get a back end on that?
Right.
California vacation.
It's another reason why AT&T has their data caps. Publishing all that video.
You can only imagine that AT&T saw what was going to happen on this.
Yeah.
And just said.
Yeah. It was probably word for word what they said.
Yeah, yeah. Like. Yeah.
I'll bring up the audio again.
They had to have been twitching. Yeah. Just twitching.
We also have some key music that comes with the product. So I'm going to have you choose this track.
Oh my gosh.
So again, this is difficult to follow because you can't see it, but the camera just records geolocation to the video. He's showing a clip that he just edited. He's playing it.
When you think of this for news gathering, as well as family stuff, and it's just it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and for a lot more news agencies are using Skype these days, so you know, we haven't heard much about that, but the front-facing camera with Skype video, if that comes across, right, could absolutely see that. Don't forget, folks, that our coverage of WWDC is brought to you by Slingbox. Slingbox allows you to watch your TV anywhere you are. Anything you've recorded, you just plug it into your internet and into your television, then you can watch the TV you get at home anywhere you go, on your iPhone, your iPod Touch, BlackBerry laptop, and MacBook. Pre-recorded shows from your DVR, any of the shows you get on TV. Check it out, Slingbox, at a Best Buy near you or at slingbox.com/twit.
And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to show you a version of this project that was exported out at 720p HD. What you're going to see was produced entirely on phone, coordinated, edited, rendered, all completely on phone.
The real question here is how quickly are we going to see movie festivals, you know, iPhone movie festivals, you know, movie competitions, movie festivals, everything.
Sure.
I mean, this is really now, and you just like, it has to be done completely on an iPhone.
We're not going to be able to do much of the, we're not going to be able to tell much of what's going on with this movie because it doesn't have a whole lot of dialogue.
So we're simply going to listen for the clapping and see if it exits or no.
Live blogs say it looks pretty professionally shot.
Look at this screenshot here. You can choose your music based on theme.
Right.
Based on feel.
Yeah.
Right, modern, news, playful.
Can export to 360p, 520p, and 720p. I'm not sure if y'all caught that. See if you've got a choice of how to put it out.
Sounds like folks think it's okay. Yeah, if you like that kind of thing.
They're paid to clap. They paid for the privilege of clapping, so they're going to clap.
Exactly.
What is 520p? Is that even right? Shouldn't it be 540?
I think it's 540. It says 540.
Yeah, it's 540. It was a typo on Mac Rumors.
For iPhone. And you'll be able to buy this right on your phone for $4.99.
Oh, so this is not free.
How much was it?
$4.99.
If they approve it.
This is, again, part of this amazing new camera system on the iPhone 4. And we're really proud of it, and I think you're going to like it a lot. Now, before I begin number six, I got the money out of my crazy that stage in my management. Why on my Google Scratch? Because there are 570 Wi-Fi base stations operating in this room. We can't deal with that. So, we have two choices. Either I got some more demos that are really great that I'd like to show you. So we either turn off all the stuff and see the demos, or we give up and I don't show you the demos. Would you like to see the demos or not?
Yeah.
He's asking people to turn off all of their devices. Am I getting
literally,
that right?
He said there's 570 Wi-Fi base stations right now.
700 of these Wi-Fi things, too. So all you bloggers need to turn off the base stations, turn off the Wi-Fi. Every notebook, I'd like them to put them down on the floor. And all of you look around, I'd like to police each other.
This is really funny.
Shut off the laptops. Turn off all
telling everyone to shut off their laptops.
I think he's handling this well.
If this works,
it'll be a great comeback.
He's trying to end the live streams, too. He's asking everyone to stop live.
And there goes our audio feed.
Telling everyone to shut off their laptops.
Our streamer did it for the good of the demo.
Look at that.
Look at that.
What's going to happen to the other live blogs, I wonder?
Why are there so many base stations there? 500 base stations? Who's using those?
Base stations. Oh, here we go. Yeah, they just leave it up. It might come back.
So is he right base stations or just devices that are using it? Is he talking like MiFis and little things?
I think he's saying there's 570 Wi-Fi signals
coming
for people's laptops or MiFis or this or that.
I can imagine that after this little process, that next time you won't be able to bring a bag or a laptop into the event.
Well, yeah. Isn't that a handy way?
I think that's going to be the next step in the evolution of this process.
Okay, so people are jeering, says Ryan Block. Come on, guys. Okay, are we done? And now we're on to number 6, iPhone OS 4, the most advanced mobile OS in the world. And also Ryan apologizes to Steve, but he's going to keep live blogging on Gadget.com. they're renaming it. They're taking away the phone from the name of the operating system. It's going to be called iOS 4.
So wow. Are we going to start guessing on how many years before we don't get laptops and towers?
Before we don't have laptops?
Before Apple stops making them.
Just stops making them. I don't see them stopping making the Mac Pro. I just don't. It's kind of a sidelight for them. They like having their finger in that sort of semi-pro, enterprise-ish kind of place.
I don't know if they care anymore.
But the iMac and the lower-level laptops, I also can't see them getting rid of the MacBook Pro either. Because they want to have that center of your universe.
I think 10 years from now they won't have a single laptop or power, or it'll literally be all iPhone.
They want people to develop on something, though, and they want them to use their hardware to do it.
But I think if we look at a 10-year trajectory from where we were 10 years ago,
yeah,
you know, I mean, the iPhone, you know, if you look at, you know, now we can start typing on it, we can start doing those kinds of things, and it just feels like, man, when they change it to iOS, you just, you know, they're really just saying, this is what we're developing on.
Yeah.
So what was that demo that they had to shut off all the Wi-Fi for?
They're talking about...
probably the iPhone OS. It's our most ambitious release to date, over 1,500 developer APIs, over 100 new user features, the biggest being multitasking. Some people said you weren't first with multitasking. The same was true with cut, copy, paste, but we took some time to figure out how to do it right. He's defending the fact that they're late to the multitasking game. And he's got a quote. As software running in the background, that just sort of exhausts the battery quickly. Who's that quote from?
Larry somebody.
Larry, May 18th. So our audio streamer ditched it, huh?
Yep.
That was a clever way to shut down the leaks.
Yeah.
Most of the live blogs are still going, though.
It's not our feed.
He's going to demo Pandora playing some Jack Johnson. What a surprise.
Jack Johnson. Jack Johnson is the new...
John
Mayer?
John Mayer, yeah.
He had to move on. Everyone was like, okay, we can't listen to... John Mayer's a great guy and everything, but...
Larry Page, that's who said that quote earlier.
Okay.
So we're in the midst of 8 iPhone 4 feature is being talked about by Steve Jobs at his WWDC keynote. This is the sixth, which is the iPhone OS. That's not a feature. I'm sorry, iOS. iOS 4.
Multitasking is one thing that he's pointing out. It's interesting, though, that if he's going to have all the new things that are in the iOS as number six, that means that we still got two big things to talk about. And I think that they've done pretty well as far as what they're talking about so far.
He hasn't talked about video chat. He's talked about video recording. So that could be one of them.
Right.
What could be the other one?
Fold. It could be the Magic Pad.
It could be
the Magic Carpet. That's what they should have called it. They should have called it the Magic Carpet.
That's not a feature of iPhone OS or of iPhone 4, though.
But it doesn't have to be. I mean, these are all features of iPhone 4.
Yeah, I think he said he was going to show you eight. They've got 100 new features, and he's going to show you eight. But we might see that as the one more thing. I doubt it.
So it could be number 9.
So apparently the demo did work. Everyone did turn off their Wi-Fi devices because they got huge applause. And he said, thank you.
Pandora finally worked. Showing some mail features with unified inbox, email threading, so you can see your whole email conversation. Just as Gmail allows you to not thread anymore, iOS 4 allows you to thread. So it's funny, some of the live blogs update speed has changed now that everyone's turned off their laptops. I bet some of them switched to alternate methods.
SMSing.
Yeah, everybody in the chat room is going off about how funny it is that he has to use Wi-Fi to show his iPhone rather than 3G.
Hey,
we're back.
Thank you.
That sounds old.
That's restart. Yeah.
You think it started from the beginning?
Probably.
Yeah, sounds like it. Yeah, that's the beginning.
Oh, that was that jazz music?
Yeah.
He's going to create a folder to manage some apps by holding and dragging. You can drag one app on another, and a folder is automatically created. Yeah.
And it's really nice.
He showed this off last time.
I know, but I played with it a little bit.
Yeah?
And you're just like, I can't believe we didn't. You know, it's another one of those things like, I can't believe we didn't have this before.
Why did we have to wait so long?
Yeah. Because they had to do it right.
Is it right? So you're saying it's right.
I don't know if it's right. I'm just saying that's their argument. That's their argument, and they're sticking to it.
Control audio apps in a multitasking bar by swiping left or right, showing unified inbox. Basically, a lot of this is features we've seen before. He's faking number six here. And this is not true multitasking, right? Does the program actually run when it's in the background, or is it just paused?
No, no, it has to, like, if Skype's running in the background, it would have to be running because it has to be consciously.
I think in the past he showed a list of like four or five features that are allowed to be running in the background, but the bulk of the app does have to close out of memory. Like downloading was a feature and notifications.
This is apparently back. Someone said in the chat room. Folders can be renamed, and you can put folders in the dock. Old news.
Better data protection, device management, wireless app distribution, multiple exchange, SSL.
It's trying to push it into the enterprise.
Which they've been very successful at.
Yeah.
Well, and what happens?
And adding Bing to the iPhone for search.
There you go. Google stays as the default, but now you have another choice.
Yeah.
And Bing is really nice, actually. Have you used Bing Travel?
I haven't. The one that you want.
I don't know what that was.
A travel search on Bing is awesome because you can say, I'm going from San Francisco to Toronto, and it'll give you a graph of when the cheapest date. You can give it like a thing.
Oh, that's nice.
A little graph of where the cheapest over days.
Netflix knows what I like based on my taste and my viewing history. For example, when you can see that I enjoy British climbers.
Yeah, we were going to try to keep it clean today.
All right, well then, maybe it would be safer to show off the fact that you can access.
Not sure what that was. That doesn't really sound like it's the same. But Tom, I think that was the link that you showed me, wasn't it? Are you able to see it on your computer?
I don't know. Let me look. We're trying to scramble around. If you've got a good link, put it in the chat room for Eric to grab. See if we can bring back some audio for you. Developers will get a Golden Master Candidate release of iOS 4 today. It's interesting that we have Bing coming to the iPhone as a choice, but we don't lose Google. And Google stays the default.
Baby steps.
And over 3G as well. In fact, Apple's technology allows us to seamlessly switch between networks. So you're going to get a great...
Well, this is back at the beginning, I think.
Thank you, John. Thank you, everyone. Netflix, iPhone...
Yeah, yeah, that's early.
That's fine.
Now there's another major milestone we're about to hit. This month we will sell the 100 millionth iOS device. We're on to calling it iOS now for everything. That includes iPhones, iPod Touches, iPads, everything.
Perhaps something in the future?
I don't know.
Some new Apple TV replacement.
Number seven is iBooks.
That's feature number seven is iBooks? We already talked about iBooks.
Well, iBooks on the iPhone.
That seems like cheating.
You know.
Steve.
Same controls, same highlighting, same bookmarking, same notes as the iPad.
Well, it's about time.
Yeah.
And does it leave off, you know, does it pick up where you left off? That's what I want it to do, just like the Kindle. I want all those apps to do that.
Yeah.
Let me ping that for you. So, yeah, they're showing the Winnie the Pooh app or book on the iPhone. Looks really good when it's huge like that. Did you see Dane's note just now? Same control, same highlighting. Yeah, that's all the same stuff. And also coming to the iPod Touch. Good point. If you're an iPod Touch user, you're going to get iBooks, which I think is a good move. A lot of people will use that on the iPod Touch.
I still think one of the things that we really need to be seeing more of from Apple is developer tools for content for the iPad and the iPhone. I mean, I think that, you know, that right now is very painful.
Across all three devices wirelessly, you can purchase and download a book. Well, we kind of figured that would be the case. Download the same book to all devices at no extra charge. That's good. So it works like the Kindle in that way. And we are, this is a feature seven, is that right?
We got one more.
So we got one more.
And I don't know if there's one more thing.
And we were thinking, what was it we were thinking we haven't touched on yet?
I think levitation.
Yeah. Actual levitation.
Something about that and cleaning your dishes.
All right. Ken, did you see Ken's note? Looks like that might be working again. I think it's just up and down. You might want to keep trying it. iBooks will automatically and wirelessly for no charge sync your place, notes, and bookmarks across all your devices. Big applause. And sorry, Kindle. Oh, no, that's just Ryan Block saying that on his live blog. I can't imagine Steve saying that out loud.
Out loud. In front of people. Anyway.
Yeah.
Although I'm sure that the back was, let's just look at what people like about Kindle and make sure that we add all those things. I mean,
it's not a huge thing that's kept me from reading on the iPad, because I've been reading on the Kindle mostly anyway. But that is one thing that I think about is, you know, I would like to be able to buy an iBook and be able to read it on my iPhone.
Right.
Of course, this keeps you in the Apple universe. If you got an Android phone with a Kindle app, you could still sync between an iPad and an Android. Right. You can't do that with iBooks. iBooks, you have to live entirely within the Apple universe.
I just don't know if people who have iPhones and iPads care. You know, I think a lot of them have, you know, they've had a pretty good taste of the Kool-Aid.
So now they're doing more demo. Just very echoey.
The same thing that you get on your HD TV, your laptop, and on your iPad. I'm going to show you how it's going to work. And you can start a film on your big screen TV and pick up right from where you...
That sounds old.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Still old. The one thing that does bother me is when you get into certain areas where you can't copy. You know, that's the, you know, on the iPhone, mm-hmm. you'll open something up and you want to copy some little snippet and you realize how, I always realize how much of that I do. And suddenly, you know, there's no way,
no
to,
way
get,
to do it.
Yeah, no way to get to that. Yeah.
I'm showing off the PDFs now, which he mentioned, over an hour ago.
Yes.
But yeah, you're going to be able to read PDFs in the iBook app, both on the iPad and on the iPhone.
The one thing that I've been that does become very useful is when you're printing all your itineraries out for hotels and stuff.
Yeah.
And just being able to just, you know.
All right. Great. Well, we've got it.
Miracle.
I'm
going
to add it to my instance here. And I'm going to check it out today. Now, just like on the iPad, on the iPhone, Netflix is...
Yeah, no, this is old.
Yeah, it's Netflix.
Still Netflix.
And they're still jamming away on the iBooks. We haven't flipped over yet to something else, which is not terribly compelling, especially because he already talked about it a lot earlier in the same keynote.
But it's for the iPhone now.
But it's pretty cool, huh? Yeah. We're still trying to find if we can get you a video or a...
Is that a link?
Or a audio link. Eric's working on it. This is WWDC live coverage of the Apple keynote event right here on Twit. Alex Lindsay and myself, Tom Merritt, Eric Lanigan behind the board, bringing you the information as we find it. And right now they're going through the 7th of 8 features of the new iPhone 4. If you haven't heard, that's the new device, iPhone 4. iOS 4 is the new name of the iPhone OS. They took the phone out of it.
Number 8.
What's number 8?
iAds.
Oh, really? That's kind of disappointing, actually.
Wah, wah.
So now we're going to get a long dissertation about advertising. That's lovely.
No front-facing camera.
No, it is. I think
no, it has a front-facing camera. They mentioned it earlier.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
How did I miss that?
That is so last hour.
You're kidding.
That's
so 10 a.m.
Did they show video chat?
No, they didn't show video chat. No, they just said that they got the camera.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I guess they're leaving that up to
all
us.
These audio feeds.
So iAds is I do think that Apple is doing something pretty interesting with the iAds by making them actually interesting, making them integrated.
Sure.
I think that there's something really interesting when you think about the size of the iPhone and the iPad is that when you think of a 16:9 video, there's enough room down at the bottom to run banners.
Yeah.
To run these things where you're not taking anything away from the video experience. You can simply have ads running at the bottom. And I think that's going to – I'm surprised people haven't used that much, but I think that might be where Apple's going to some degree. And I think that this idea that you can click on them and get a whole bunch of more information and make it actually interesting is a little bit of the Holy Grail. And I do think it's very – it should be very scary to Google and so on and so forth, not because it's going to take a lot of people out. It's going to take a lot of the top-end consumers out. You know, of that process. And I think that in the same way that the healthcare system doesn't work if you take all the healthy people out.
Right.
If you take all the high margin people who you really want to get a hold of with these advertising and they're all moving to, you know, advertise into this and that market's into that, it really makes the ad market in general not as efficient.
He's touting right now the fact that iAd keeps you in the app. Right. So instead of closing the app and taking you to a browser when you click on an ad, which is a lot of the way AdMob ads work. It combines motion and video with the interactivity of the web inside the app. You never have to leave that app.
I believe Apple's controlling this all, right? I mean, so they're running the ads. I mean, it's just kind of like one of those things you can put an ad. That's the part I don't understand is it seems like Apple's just going to say, like Google AdWords, you know, whatever. You can just say, and then I want advertising.
Yeah.
And send me a check. Right. You know, and then Apple's going to figure out how it's going to, you know, what ads it's going to run. But it doesn't, you know, you can't do it.
Built into iOS 4, you can add them in an afternoon. 60% of the revenue goes to the developers, and it's paid via iTunes Connect, just like apps. So it's a familiar system.
Yeah.
Don't have to get used to anything new. You just sign up, like you're saying. Hey, mm-hmm. put an ad here and send me the money.
Yep.
And you just tell Apple where you want them. That's what he says. So that's our final feature, huh?
Did they describe any features of the front-facing camera or just say that they had one? Because they touted the back one. They described all the new...
I know what the first app's going to be. It's going to be iMirror.
Maybe the one more thing will be iChat. Who knows?
Yeah.
Video iChat. WWDC live coverage at live.twit.tv. Tom Merritt, Alex Lindsay, Eric Lanigan behind the board here, bringing to you what Steve Jobs says as he says it. And we the big news is iPhone 4 is the name of the new iPhone. It is exactly what you saw leaked around the web. And iPhone OS 4 has become iOS 4. And there's lots of other little news around that, but that's the big stuff. Going over iAds right now, which is the eighth wonder of the iPhone, according to Steve Jobs. And he's going through all of the people who are buying ads now.
And it's a good list.
Yeah, it's big names. Sears.
I mean, the thing is if you're putting it in your if you're having
Campbell's
ads running
soup.
Into it, it's the kind of stuff that you're probably going to be happy with.
So now they're going to show some ads. That's probably good. We don't have the video or audio right now. They're going to assault you with a bunch of ads. But the idea is to show how cool the ads are, because the idea with iAds is that you don't mind these ads. They're integrated into the app you're using. They don't disrupt the performance of it. They fit into it somehow, if done right, anyway.
Right.
And, there,
well, and again, this is something that Apple's going to be selling these for you, just the way Google sells those for you. So as a developer, you can definitely see how you could be going a lot more towards free applications that are going to be running those pieces.
When you tap on it, it fills the screen, or you can hit a button in the top left to close the ad. That's nice. It's a Nissan ad they're showing off for an electric car. Wow. This just seems long at this point.
Yeah.
So
it's because we lost the audio, and then everything feels like it's going half the speed now.
Yeah. And it's just talking about ads.
So what were some of the hardware changes? Should we give a little recap about that?
Yeah. The biggest hardware addition that I think we didn't expect was the gyroscope. So you now have six-axis positioning when you combine the accelerometer and the gyroscope. That is going to give you a lot more control
in
tilt applications.
Yeah. So I think that I thought the antenna is interesting. I mean, it's more of a geeky,
right.
Interesting.
The antenna is outside the case. It's
evidently
those
does
metal
not,
bands.
Does not improve the Wi-Fi we saw throughout the presentation. The front-facing camera and then the higher megapixel camera that's able to do 720p. And then, of course, the iMovie connected to that, which is pretty...
iMovie for $4.99. You can download it. It allows you to edit video on the iPhone. So you can shoot, edit, publish all from iPhone 4.
That's going to be really cool.
Steve thinks it's magical or amazing or something.
Look at this. Here's a screenshot of the new external antenna. That's pretty cool. So the form factor that we saw that was leaked to Gizmodo is exactly the form factor that was announced today.
Well, yeah, and he acknowledged that. He said, some of you may have seen this before.
And you were asking, what is this?
Yeah.
The little rocker is gone, and we now have the little buttons.
More buttons. That's unusual for Steve, adding buttons.
But I
from a rocker,
I admit,
which is
I don't really like the
one
rocker.
Button to...
Oh, and now he's... that's ridiculous. Now he's actually asking people to send him email. He's giving away his email address. sjobs@apple.com. There you go.
This is part of the advertisement for the Leaf. He's signing up for information. So don't go and email him unless you have something to say. Actually, do whatever. He's not like the CEO of AT&T. He won't send a cease and desist.
I wonder if they just have like a Steve school where they have like 100 people that are just in a classroom and they learn how to and even though no one's going to ever see them, they have to wear black turtlenecks and they learn how to be prickly.
It's like if you ever open the wrong door on the Apple campus, you see just a room full of people who are all in the black turtlenecks and there's a little
answering.
Steve's at a desk. Yeah.
Yeah.
On iPads.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Just answering. No. Yes.
Yep.
No. Yep. It's going to be great.
There's a contest involved with this Nissan ad that they're showing off. Boy, Nissan really got some placement in this keynote, huh? A lot
yes.
of bang for their buck. All right, that concludes the iAd demo, finally. That's the eighth wonder of the iPhone, the eight features. So we'll either wrap up here. Oh, by the way, iAd's enabled on July 1st. We'll either wrap up here or we'll get one more thing, is
my
guess.
We haven't gotten one more thing for a long time.
No, he didn't do that anymore.
Kind of phased that out.
Yeah.
too predictable. Everybody was expecting it.
So we still need price and we still need release date.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be interesting if we actually get that. I imagine we'll get price. Release date?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's end of
Why
June.
Why wouldn't we?
End of June.
You spent so much time talking about it. You got to tell us
when. Yeah, come on.
But he's got to talk about how successful they've been selling the iAds so that the stock filters are happy.
Oh, and also, remember, this is the developer saying you can make a lot of money with this. We've got a lot of people who want to place a lot of ads.
$60 million committed to second half of this year for iAds from advertisers.
Not bad.
That's average. It's for a new platform, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not a bad start.
Nobody expects one more thing. His chief weapon is surprise, says Eric Duckman. I feel like this was too long for one product.
It's a little long. I think he could have moved through some of these a little bit faster.
And earlier on, we thought he was moving pretty fast.
He was. And then I wonder whether the whole Wi-Fi thing kind of slowed things down. I think it...
Well, 60 million of that, about that much. But it's actually a little more, because we're only talking about the second half of the year.
It's coming off of a 78 record, I think.
We're looking at IAC now with just the commitments we've got in the last 8 weeks to be 48% of the second half 2010 entire U.S. mobile display advertising market.
Wow.
We've only been at this for 8 weeks, and we're not stopping selling. So... We think we're off to a pretty great start.
Date is June 24th. iAd is going to be enabled.
That's pretty impressive. 48% of all the mobile display advertising, and they haven't even launched it yet.
And let's put some ads out there and help you make some money, because that's our goal. To help you earn money so you can continue to create free and low-cost apps with a light user.
Those are the 8 things he wants to share with you. So, now we find out for real.
Those are the 8 things I want to share with you.
There's going to be one more thing.
What do you think so far?
What do you think so far? Is it going to be something else?
I think it's a lot more than people thought about. I don't know. What do you think?
One more thing.
We're actually getting it.
Gotcha. What did he say?
Turn the Wi-Fi off again.
Lights coming up in the auditorium, lining curtains on the wall behind Steve, says Mac Rumors.
When we launched the iPhone, it was my privilege to make the first public call on stage to one of my best friends in the whole world, Johnny Ive, head of our design team.
He's going to do video.
So he's going to call Johnny Ive on video chat. But he had to have the lights up to do it, huh? Oh, so Joni could see him. That's why. And according to Mac Rumors, the quality of the call looks good. They say great.
Okay, he's demonstrating video calling. He told everybody to turn it off, and everybody did.
I kind of felt like we had to see something. I mean, you can't put the front-facing camera there without being able to...
It seems almost like they just decided to have one more thing, and so they put that...
Yeah, exactly.
The end.
If there's going to be a front-facing camera in Act 1...
Yeah,
right.
It's not a huge surprise. It's like we were all sitting there like, well, wait a minute.
Right. I wonder how it's going to feel like if you're walking and talking on it. It's going to be like one of those weird movies where everything around it's jiggling and you're still.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is.
Steve accuses people in the audience of not turning off their Wi-Fi because the performance is a little laggy.
Right.
Why are they sharing the same Wi-Fi? Why wouldn't they have...
No, I think the problem is that they literally... It's not that they're sharing that Wi-Fi. It's that there are so many Wi-Fi signals that they're just... It's confusing.
It's interfering. Yeah, you're right. It's just too many Wi-Fi.
Yeah, too many signals.
Too many signals on limited bandwidth.
Yeah. Too many notes.
Don't forget, we need to thank Slingbox for helping to bring this live coverage of WWDC to you. They are our sponsor for all our breaking news. And Slingbox lets you watch your TV anywhere you go. You can watch your home TV on your mobile device, your iPhone, iPod Touch, iPad coming soon, Blackberries, laptops, MacBooks. Go to Best Buy, purchase a Slingbox, take it home, hook it up to the internet, hook it up to your TV, and then from then on, anywhere you got an internet connection, you can watch your home television, anything on your DVR, all of that stuff, pre-recorded shows, news, movies, whatever you want to watch, whatever's on your TV, you get it. Check out Slingbox at a Best Buy near you or at slingbox.com/twit. So we're finishing up with the call with Joni Ive, right?
So and the new feature is called FaceTime. FaceTime video calling.
FaceTime?
That's what they're calling it.
Why?
I don't know why you had a name called iChat.
Yeah. Why would you call it FaceTime? Faceplant. FaceTime video chat calling on iPhone 4. It's a this always happens at WDC. It's a somewhat anticlimactic feeling that I have right now. What about you, Alex?
I think that what typically happens, you get to the end and you thought that there were going to be something much bigger, but you realize that the things that they added were pretty impressive. I mean, when you look at the, I think we're going to see, especially at a developers conference, you can see how they're catering. These are the things you're going to be able to use. You know, while the FaceTime is one way to use it, I can imagine like being able to do interviews, you know, with an iPhone. Imagine being able to set it between two people, do the interview, mm-hmm. and then have two channels on iMovie. I don't know, and then be able to edit the thing. You know, like those are cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Or have some third party app that'll do that. And I don't know whether it will allow you to do that, record two streams of video at the same time.
Now, there's no setup required for this for FaceTime. All you have to do is make a phone call. Both the front and the rear camera can be used.
It's Wi-Fi only.
You can switch between them. You can do portrait and landscape mode. But yeah, it's Wi-Fi only. That's a good point. Need to work a little bit with the cellular providers, says Steve.
Yeah, code for need to kick ATT in ass.
code for maybe when LTE comes along, yeah. We can do this.
Or maybe when we move to Verizon.
No Verizon announcement. No. Not going to happen.
So disappointed.
Again, everyone who is waiting for that is let down. I was not expecting one personally.
But I can definitely see when you look at the new features, when you look at everything from Netflix to the video, to the upload, and you can see that AT&T saw this feature set and was just like, no way are we doing this with this phone.
Makes perfect sense that they wanted to switch things around, especially after today. Like, this is the day that that plan changes for AT&T.
Right. They were like, because we're never, that's not going to happen.
Now, we still haven't got price and availability.
Interesting that FaceTime will only work between iPhones. You can't send it to a computer. You can't do it to a Mac.
Right. It's not Skype video. It's just iPhone to iPhone. And iPhone 4 to iPhone 4.
Right. But I also think that I do think that's a little odd that you can't do it back and forth to iChat. But I think that with a front-facing camera, we can only assume that Skype is going to expand that to being able to do video.
We're almost done. With the WWDC conference, we think, because he got to a one more thing. We're waiting for price and availability. And then afterwards, upon conclusion of the show, we're going to do a little more wrap-up conversation of what happened in the announcement. Right now, they're showing a video of all the ways FaceTime can be used. My guess is that's probably their advertisement, right?
Right.
So I guess the one way you can't use it yet, at least, is to record it, like to do a news interview, to have someone out in the field reporting back. Because unless there's a way to get video and audio out, which they haven't done yet on most other apps, then you can't send it to a computer.
Right. Yeah, I don't know how you would do that. But it seems like something that's going to, it's not in this first version. It'll definitely be in one soon enough.
The audience is clapping like crazy, a sign that we are about to wrap up.
They're going to experience too many issues with...
It's just commentary out of that audio feed now, right? Well, because Steve hasn't actually been talking. It's just been showing a video. Keep an eye on it. Keep an ear on it, rather.
And so I guess as soon as this concludes, we will surprise one of these people.
Yes.
On our list with...
We've got Becky Worley of Tech News Today, as well as ABC's Good Morning America. We'll try to get a hold of her. We'll try to get a hold of Ryan. He's had a good live blog we've been using for a lot of this coverage. John Gruber, Andy Anatko, Don McAllister, Clayton Morris. We'll try to round up and get some reactions for those guys because they were all over there at the Moscone Center.
Right.
See what they thought from inside the hall. And now Steve's going over the bullet points of FaceTime. Hey, let's try that. Do we have that audio feed still? Let's check in on it.
ABC's Good Morning. We'll try to get a hold of
that. That audio feed's
I'm not sure what that has switched to. It used to be the...
Yeah, it switched to me. Based on many open standards, H.264, AAC, SIP, STUN, TURN, ICE, RTP, SRTP, Apple going to standards body tomorrow to make FaceTime an open industry standard. That's interesting.
Wow. So theoretically, you could do FaceTime with Skype or...
Yeah, so what you're talking about could happen then.
Right.
Because anybody can build access to it. So it's only iPhone 4 to iPhone 4 right now. Now, does that mean it's not iPhone 4 to iPhone 3GS, even if you update the 3GS to the iOS 4?
But you wouldn't have front-facing.
But you can use it with either camera. So you could conceivably use it with the camera.
You just couldn't see the other person.
Yeah.
Well, a certain company may want you to buy a new phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Microsoft?
Yeah, exactly.
Comes in two colors, white and black, just like the spy shots told us, according to Mac rumors.
No WebM codec support. And if they're...
No, that's true.
Yeah.
So, two-year contract, $199 for the 16 gig, $299 for the 32 gig, if you qualify for a subsidized price. So no weirdness, no unsubsidized, just your standard prices. $199 for 16 gigs, $299 for 32 gigs.
There's usually some kind of prorate if you bought one last year.
And AT&T is making an incredibly generous upgrade offer, says Steve. I know a lot of people were noticing today that their upgrade date got moved up so that if they really weren't eligible, they now became eligible.
Well, I think that part of that, I still think that they're going to want you to change that. I think part of it is they want you to change that away from the video.
Yeah. They want to get you on the new tiered plan.
Yeah.
So no 64 gig. It's 16 and 32.
And no retention of the 3GS at a lower price point, it looks like.
Yeah, he hasn't said anything about the 3GS.
I think they really want to move everybody to this new platform.
Up to 6 months of early eligibility. So if you're within 6 months of the end of your contract, the AT&T is going to go ahead and let you get the subsidized version.
3GS for $99.
Ah, so there we go.
Okay.
And on sale, June 24th. Mark your calendars, folks. That'll be iPhone 4 day, June 24th.
It's right before I leave for the beach. It's going to be great.
So you can have your iPhone 4 at the beach?
Yes.
And show us all video.
Exactly.
Send us video calls.
Yeah, exactly. I'm here in Cape Hatteras having a great time.
Where'd you see the... Oh, there we go. 3GS, $99.
Pre-orders start June 15th.
June 15th. You know what? I really hope they do this the way they did the iPad, where you can schedule your appointment to come in. That worked really well.
That worked well for me.
Yeah. I bought my iPad that way.
Yep. I'm hoping.
You think you still have to go in?
Yeah. You could probably do it either way.
You probably mail.
You probably have it mailed or go in like you did with the iPad. Canada's not going to get it, though. They're not in the initial batch of countries. Sorry, Canada. It's France, Germany, United Kingdom, and Japan.
I wonder if those are the largest markets.
And in July, they'll be doing 18 more countries. That's when Canada gets it.
Right.
And Belgium. I'm not going to read all 18 countries, but New Zealand, Italy. In August, they're going to add 24 more, September 44 more, and they're going to ship to 88 countries by the end of the year, by September 2010, actually. Not even that far. This will be our fastest rollout ever, he says. Canada gets it in July. Thank goodness Luxembourg gets it then, too. New dock. And they're going over accessories now. An Apple bumper case goes around the outside, back and front are open, comes in multiple colors. $29 for the dock. So they took a crack at doing their own case. That's new. They call it a bunker.
The bunker.
$29 for the case as well.
Did you say bunker or bumper?
Bunker.
Bunker or bumper? I've seen bumper.
I've seen both.
Right.
One play, I'm not going to say who. One play says bumper, another one says bunker. Waiting for a picture.
Of course, it doesn't protect the part that everyone needs.
It doesn't say.
What everybody needs is some kind of protection for the front face. That's what everyone's breaking.
Bumper. I think it's bumper. iPhone 3GS and iPhone 3G will be able to upgrade to iOS 4, though they won't support all the features. Same goes for iPod Touch. Upgrade for those devices will be free. Free. You won't have to pay for it on June 21st. That's new for the iPod Touch, folks. They don't have to pay for this upgrade.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See, and I had heard that was all a Sarbanes-Oxley, you know, thing, which is that they were trying to...
The explanation has always been to me, too. Mm. So June 24th, you can buy the phone. June 21st, you can get the OS. You can get the OS 3 days before the phone.
Just to see how good it is on your 3GS.
Before you trade up. That's actually smart. They should always have done that. Get you a little taste on June 21st.
Looks like colored cases for those bumpers will be an option. I'm trying to find a picture here.
Yeah, there's a picture on Mac Rumors.
Here we go.
White, pink, red, green, blue, and black.
Did they give a price on those?
$29. $29 each.
Those are kind of nifty.
And now we get the video summarizing all the features of the iPhone 4. Wow, a lot of roll-ins on this.
Evidently, the roll-ins work better than the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, Flink iPod Touch users get iOS 4 for free. That's the implication of what we're hearing right now. I'll have to double-check that to be sure, but that's what all the live blogs are saying. This video is just a bunch of execs talking about how magical the iPhone 4 is.
And brilliant.
And amazing.
And fantastic.
Yeah.
And unbelievable. Insanely great.
It's going to change your life.
My life has already been changed. I'm just in the future. I can see it.
Hour and 46 minutes for this keynote. We were wrong about it being a short one.
Ay, ay, ay.
We haven't even pulled Jack Johnson on stage yet.
I'm sure he's on his way.
So this is the same as the iPad video where they had the folks sitting back talking about how there's no wrong way to hold it. And this is your tour video. Pre-orders June 15th. If you're wondering, iPhone 4 with iOS 4, they've changed the name, comes June 24th. You can pre-order June 15th. And then the download of iOS 4 is June 21st.
Yes.
These are numbers I'm going to have to memorize.
Evidently, according to the video, FaceTime is going to change the way we communicate forever.
We will all communicate in Latin from now on.
And so now we know those rumors
et
and those
tu, Brute.
those rumors and those photos we saw of back before the iPad was announced of having the space carved right there for the built-in front-facing camera. Probably they did just save it for the next iteration.
My guess is that it just wasn't working. When they wanted to release it. I mean, I think that Apple oftentimes will get to a point where they just, if it's not working, they'll just pull it out.
Oh, you think?
I think they just kind of covered it up. I think they would have put it in if they could have.
You're going to put in your lunch order now? We're going to have to get a lunch lunch thing going here.
Salad. That's what I eat for lunch.
Look at these photos they're showing of them. I guess this is the iPhone manufacturing plant. What is this showing?
Evidently, they've learned how to levitate. This is where we're levitating water. This is for a future development. It's going to change the way we build the displays.
Definitely.
Like the display is actually going to float over top of the device.
That looks like a multi-touch panel right there, perhaps.
Testing. It's a massage. They massage all the components before they put them in.
Pampered.
Yes, make sure that they feel comfortable.
And now they're going over all the stuff from the presentation. FaceTime, the Retina display, all the stuff we've seen. Maggie Reardon from CNET says Cisco has agreed to license the iOS trademark to Apple for use as the name of Apple's operating system.
Apple's run out of new names, so they just simply
borrow their names from Cisco.
They got the money. I mean, they got some money in the bank. They're like, here, have $100 million, call it a day. It's like chump change.
Yeah. This is that lingering part of any Apple keynote where if you're not actually in the hall, you're just kind of waiting for it to finally wind up because pretty much all the announcements are done.
So it looks like Steve did pretty much all the demos. I mean, here we got a photo of Scott Forstall. Did he do anything or was, I think it was all Steve.
Yeah, Steve.
Randy.
He had Reed Hastings come up to do the Netflix. You know, he had
iMovie presentation.
Yeah, the iMovie presentation. He had a few people in the early part, but he did the rest of it. It was not as farmed out.
I was really hoping we'd see AT&T give them a break, give the iPhone users a break, because they had promised, especially for the iPad. I mean, they had promised the unlimited data plan.
Yeah.
Now it's suddenly 2 gigs. I was hoping we'd hear something about that.
AT&T just constantly makes themselves look like dorks.
So
I'm always amazed at how brazenly they can just be like, yeah, we're idiots. And then, yeah, we're idiots again.
So who do you think jumped first with the AT&T issue? Because it sounds like when they first were talking video and Netflix, you guys were saying that, oh, well, AT&T saw they wanted to do that and said, no way, we're capping it. But then Steve Jobs at the very end sort of made a comment that may have been a snide comment about AT&T not letting them do the streaming video. And like, well, we have to work with the carriers. So who do you think went first on that?
Well, I just think that AT&T saw what was going to happen and just said, because it would, I have to admit, it would kill the network. I mean, it would destroy it.
Stomp it.
Yeah, it would just stomp it into little pieces. I mean, there'd be nothing. You wouldn't be able to make a phone call in San Francisco.
And that was the funny thing is people were saying, well, if 98% of your users don't even go over this limit, why bother putting the limit in place? Well, now you see why. Because they don't go over it now.
Right.
But if they start using these phones, you're gonna have to think about it, which kind of sucks.
Well, but I mean, the thing is, as I said, you can put it on. I mean, even my MiFi has a limit, 5 gigs. So it's
look at this. Apparently, the iPhones were made at the Terminator factory.
Oh, look at that. That one's the T-1000.
Todd, the T-1000.
It turns out that the internal names are T-1000, 2000, 3000, 4000.
This is going to change everything all over again. And Steve is back on stage. This has got to be it. This has got to be the benediction.
Thank you very much. Live long, prosper. Now get out of here.
Go in peace to love and serve Apple.
Because we want to make money for you.
Yes, he said that during this keynote.
Yes.
This whole iAds thing is a way to make money for the developers. He says, I put up this slide earlier this year, and to me it represents what Apple's all about. It's not just a technology company, even though we have and invent some of the highest tech in this industry. It's more than that. It's the marriage of that and humanity, and it's where technology and liberal arts meet at a crossroads. He's got that signage up there. Technology and liberal arts?
I'm sure he also means fine arts, because a lot of that
sounds
is just
like a
design.
Double major. Yeah, but this is Steve trying to say, like, this is all about being doing things that are good for humanity. He is always trying to push that as his overall motivation and the values. You can decide whether you believe it or not. But
I think there's something that he has in the back, that's really like he thinks whether we agree with him all the time. I think that he actually does feel like they're pushing things down a certain direction.
He says an example is the front-facing camera. In addition to 18 months' work on software, you'll never even notice when placing a video call. He's thanking all the teams who've worked for the last 18 months to work on the iPhone 4. Calls it the complete solution, so all of us don't have to be system integrators. So we're going to try to get a few people online as soon as this is wrapped up. This is pretty much wrapped up. And get some reactions from folks who are actually in the hall there. My mic is off. Don't forget, Tech News Today is going to be at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. Becky Worley will be on with Scott Johnson and Sarah Lane. We'll be kind of going over all of this after we've had an hour or so to process it and figure out exactly what all this stuff means. Steve's introducing the teams, making them stand up one by one as the audience claps. Hands must be sore by now. Yeah. All that clapping.
You'll know when it's really, they've got it all down. When people come out, they can't talk. They can't move their hands anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And this is pretty much a sign that it's over. Johnny Ive and the design team, the A4 team, Scott Forstall.
He hasn't done this before, I don't think.
No,
I don't think
he's really. This is like the end of the Tonight Show when you're
right.
Thanks to the band.
Okay, the event's over. So now we're going to try to grab onto some folks.
Yeah, let's try to get up. You're going to get somebody up on the line there, Eric, and I'll tell people one more time. Our breaking news is sponsored by Slingbox. Slingbox is the purveyor of your television wherever you want it. So if you've got some favorite shows and you're going overseas and you're afraid of getting blocked out, you're not going to be able to watch your favorite shows, here's what you do. You get your portable device, your iPhone, your iPod Touch, your BlackBerry, laptop, MacBook, whatever you got. And then you go to Best Buy, buy a Slingbox, bring it home, hook it up to the internet, hook it up to your TV, take that mobile device with you. You can watch your television anywhere you go. You can get anything off your DVR, all the TV shows you're used to, all of that stuff with you. News, movies, any program that you get on television, you can watch over the internet with Slingbox. Check out Slingbox at a Best Buy near you or at slingbox.com/twit.
A couple things we didn't see. We didn't see the Apple TV, any change to the Apple TV. There was a lot of rumors.
Yeah.
We were going to see some kind of upgrade to that.
I didn't expect it, but, wondered.
We didn't see the 27-inch iPod Touch.
No, we didn't see any new iPads of any kind.
No, I don't think. I think that they have to pace themselves at least.
Yeah.
I think if we're going to see a new iPad. We'll see it in September.
We're going to call up, who are we calling? Clayton
Morris. Yep.
Clayton Morris.
Fox and Friends.
Fox and Friends.
Various podcasts
and see if he this is
gadgets and games.
This is the morning show edition part where we
exactly. I was thinking it felt like that too.
We pull some gags
on the plane. I hear they stole your car.
I don't know why that sounds
is your refrigerator
so choppy.
Running.
Hi, Rich Clayton. Please
okay, so there's
right.
We'll go on down the list, see if we can find some other folks.
Try Becky.
Yeah, let's try Becky. They may be going into the room, the special room where they have the iPhone.
Yeah.
Right.
That would be my guess, but yeah, let's go ahead and give them a shot. We will have Becky on the tech news today at 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 Pacific. So we'll make her do four shows this week, right? She's not going to get out of one. Glass front and back. That was another thing we didn't talk too much
glass
about.
Glass front and back.
Yeah.
Seems very odd. So now you can crack both sides if you drop it.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Yep.
Everybody's in the magic room.
I think everyone's in the magic room.
Yeah.
We may not be able to grab anybody because I think it might be like a half hour of people in the magic room.
Getting a first look.
Because if they're in the magic room, they're not going to answer the phone.
They're not going to be able to answer the phone.
Right.
They're not going to be able to use the phone.
So it has the A4 chip. I was curious. So that's the same as in the iPad, right?
Yep.
And which one does that replace in the current 3GS, or what kind of a speed increase is that going to give us?
Well, it's going to be very snappy. I mean, the one thing, well, I think you had to have that chip to run that resolution, and I think that we're going to, we definitely noticed a marked increase in the responsiveness and speed of the iPad compared to the iPhone. I mean, the iPhone feels very sluggish after using the iPad, so I think we'll have that kind of, he didn't talk about that, but I think we'll have that kind of fluidness that we get with the iPad.
Yeah, the other thing he didn't talk about is tethering, which is finally here today with AT&T. You can pay $20 a month to get tethering on your iPhone.
That is surprising that he didn't mention that.
No, I think Apple is just bitter at this point.
Yeah, they're so done. They're so over it.
Yeah. They're just like, they don't want to talk about the services. They don't want to talk about any of the stuff. I mean, even though you can understand why AT&T capped this, I can only imagine that Apple's just like, eventually we're going to have enough money, we can just buy AT&T and fire everyone.
So we're going to keep on the line, keep trying a few people, see if we can get somebody who was at the WWDC. But thanks for watching. This is the WWDC coverage of the Steve Jobs keynote. If you're just tuning in or if you tuned in a little late, he pretty much announced iPhone 4, is just the one that you expected, the one you saw in all of the leaked photos. iOS 4 is the new name of the iPhone OS. Got a few more details about that. iPhone 4 has a front-facing camera. It has an exterior antenna, and it has a gyroscope in it.
Gyroscope.
Not reachable. We can't get that. They're not reachable. Any other last thoughts before we
I think it's actually, like you, kind of wanted to see something really outrageously, you know, something new and big. But I do have to say that these are very, very solid. I think 326 DPI or PPI, whatever you want to call is
pixels per inch.
That is, I mean, it really is tighter than an art magazine. So I think that we're going to notice that I think it's going to be much more responsive. I think the video is exciting. I don't really care about the 720p because I don't think the lens and I don't think the sensor can resolve the 720p. And we'll throw it up in front of a professional chart when we get it and we'll test it. But I just don't think it's going to, I think it's fine that they did it.
Yeah.
I think they had to from a marketing perspective. But it's the same thing as a flip. I mean, when you take a flip and you throw it in front of a chart, you realize that it's not really resolving past standard def anyway.
I think we'll see some accessories that allow HDMI out.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I wish.
Yeah.
Bigger battery plus the A4 processor means they're talking 7 hours of talk time, 6 hours of 3G browsing, 10 hours of Wi-Fi browsing, 10 hours of video, 40 hours of music, 300 hours standby. It's a 5-megapixel camera with
which is nice.
LED flash. And it's a real 5 megapixels. They just didn't squeeze a bunch of sensors in.
Right. They made the sensor bigger.
Yeah. So that makes for a much better picture.
I really like the continuous LED light for when you're shooting video.
Right.
That's going to be cool.
iMovie for iPhone allows you to edit right there on the iPhone. It's an extra $4.99, though. You got to pay for it.
$4.99.
For a pretty robust, it looked like, editing program. It
looked like one of the best editing programs I've seen on a mobile phone.
I just don't know if I'm going to want to edit on that small.
I just think on the road, there's been a lot of times that I'm finding when I'm traveling that I would love to cut some stuff down, like just shoot a couple things, edit it down, put it up.
More quickly. Than just trim, you're saying, like actually.
Yeah, the way I take notes when I'm at NAB or I was just at Cinegear is I take little videos that before we take the camera crew in.
Uh-huh.
And it would be great if I can do this. I'm probably going to be editing them and throwing them up as like the raw versions before we actually do the more refined ones.
You're right. It could immeasurably improve blog video.
Yeah.
Because instead of being stuck like this is what I recorded and I'm posting it right now, you actually could post it good. What's that? Okay.
Thanks,
Sarah. Apparently my phone was ringing and annoying everyone upstairs.
According to Sarah. That
you know
was
what I think? Oh, 314 area code. Where is that? That's in St. Louis. Why would someone from St. Louis call me? iBook for the iPhone. Bing coming to the iPhone. Not replacing Google. Google's still the default, but you can change it to Bing if you want. The video chat was the one more thing. FaceTime, they call it. So that you can actually use a phone number. You call somebody. But
they're saying that this is going to be a standard, that they're going to let other people access. Standard, so you're going to be able to, it's very interesting for Apple, not normal.
And here are the details that are probably most important to you. Pre-order begins June 15th. You can pick it up June 24th. That's when it delivers. iOS 4 available for download on your 3GS and your 3G June 21st, although not all features will be enabled on those platforms. So you can download it on June 21st and then trade it in on June 24th. $199 subsidized for the 16 gig and $299 for the 32 gig.
Right.
So there you go.
Are you going to get one?
I don't know right this second because I've really been thinking about getting an Evo and I might still.
Right.
And just get an Evo and upgrade the iPhone. We'll see. But the gyroscope is the thing that's got me the most fascinated, actually.
The video, I think, for me, I mean, being able to edit the video, I think the front-facing camera, I'm very excited about. I mean, I definitely have found that that's something that we do a lot of meetings online. And I think it'll be interesting if we can figure out a way that it's going to integrate with this stuff. Being able to use that for a Twit or a MacBreak weekly or whatever, I think would be very interesting, too.
If you go to apple.com/iPhone/design, you can see the video that they were playing. Why don't we take a look at that real quick before we wrap up, and then we'll be done. We're going to try Clayton again. We'll see if we can get Clayton Morris from Fox and Friends on the line. while we look at this video. Apple.com/iPhone. Yeah, there we go. Go ahead and this is the new video from what they showed off in the keynote.
iPhone 4 is magical. so much more than just another new product.
It's brilliant.
I mean, this will have a lasting impact on the way that we actually connect with each other.
In 2007, the iPhone reinvented the phone. In 2008, the iPhone 3G brought faster 3G networking and the revolutionary App Store. In 2009, the iPhone 3GS was twice as fast and brought out new features like video recording. For 2010, the iPhone 4 is the biggest leap forward since the original iPhone. We're introducing the amazing Retina display, and we're bringing video calling to the world. And we call it FaceTime. It's going to change the way we communicate forever. The very first time I had a FaceTime call, I was blown away. Because it is amazing.
It was to one of our developers in a bar.
Personal. It's all about connecting people. I think of my own children, like 7, 8 years, they'll be off at college. And I can imagine being able to call them and see them, but also look into their eyes.
You there,
see,
Clayton?
How are they really doing? What makes it even better is that it switches from the front camera to the back camera.
Hello?
So you can show someone what you're seeing. And because it's so mobile as your phone, you'll be able to chat anywhere there's Wi-Fi. But what's amazing is every time I've been using it, you can't help but smile and go, I can't believe this is real. This is actually happening.
Another thing we're really excited about on the new iPhone 4 is the Retina display. It's the highest resolution display ever built into a phone.
All right, so you can watch the rest of that yourself if you want, but that gives you an idea of what they were showing in the hall there at Moscone Center. We will continue to cover the iPhone, as you can imagine, in all different kinds of ways. Don't forget Tech News Today at 5:30 p.m. Eastern every day, 2:30 p.m. Pacific. All right, so we're going to try to get some more people on the phone now.
Just, trying Becky again.
Okay, let's try see if she's come out of the magic room.
The magic room. Of course, you have to let the distortion field wear off a little bit.
That's right.
When you come out of the magic room, it's just like it's.
I love it. I love the phone. I want to marry it.
You know, I didn't think it was going to be great, and then I walked into the room, and as soon as I walked in, I've had a glowing feeling, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is.
Becky Worley, it's Tom Merritt.
Hello.
Tom.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you well. And you're live, by the way, just so you know.
Well, that's exciting.
Isn't it, though?
You know, and you are calling me on my AT&T phone, which I brought the Sprint Evo because I was worried at all these events the network gets slammed with iPhone users. So if I lose you, I'll call you back on the Evo, okay?
All right. Yeah. And you know, we heard there were some network problems during the demo.
Oh, it was comedy. So Steve Jobs is trying to demo a live rendering of the New York Times to show the new high-resolution screen. And he was very gracious as the demo was failing. He couldn't load the page. He referenced the Google I.O. where they asked everyone to turn the Wi-Fi, their Wi-Fi off on their devices, made a big joke about it, and then came back on screen 5 minutes later and says, okay, now I'm not kidding. Can you turn your Wi-Fi off? Backstage, they said there were over 500 different devices pulling Wi-Fi, sending Wi-Fi, Wi-Fi hotspots all out and about. So that was definitely the humor point.
There was a lot of funny stuff going on in this keynote. He made some cracks about Gizmodo obliquely, not by name, but, you know, some stuff like that.
Yeah, after he showed the new iPhone 4, he let the applause die down, and he said something to the effect of, have any of you guys seen this before? And he was gracious and funny, and I think he, as the master showman, he took the right tenor and he referenced it. It was a thing, and then it was done.
Hi, Alex Lindsay is here with us as well. Alex, you got any questions for Becky? Have you been in the magic room yet, Becky?
I'm in the magic room.
She's calling
now.
Us from the magic
Here's
room.
I'm calling the magic room. Let me set the stage. There are 8 tables. Kind of like art room tables in a school, big, wide-open tables with about 10 of the new iPhones on each table. People are circled around, maybe two or three deep, waiting for their chance to get their hands on it. And this is not just attendees. You have to have some special badge to get into the magic room. People are definitely focusing on two things particularly. One is multitasking, and then the second is obviously video calling. That definitely got the biggest attention of people in the conference, and I can see people trying it out here and now.
All right. Have you touched one yet?
Well, I touched one when Jason Chen handed it to me, but that's not the one we're talking about.
Have you touched one that wasn't stolen yet?
I've lost, stolen. Come on, it's all semantics. Okay, I'm gonna barge my way in here and get my hands on one. Everybody's also really photographing the thickness or thinness thereof. 40% thinner than the previous iPhone. And when I held it in my hand earlier, and as I said, I'm still trying to barge my way in here, one thing I really noticed, it felt thinner, and the flat back and the squarer edges made it actually easier to hold. I felt like it was less likely to slip out of my hand, if you will. So, okay, let's see. Can I hold it for 10 seconds? Oh, that's the old one. Oh, man. Okay.
Remember the white one?
Okay. I've got the white one in my hand right now. There's a white one and a black one. It's definitely the squared up edges with the stainless steel band, which is the integrated antenna, as you probably discussed, for better reception. I'm really interested in the multitasking, and I know that Steve used Pandora to demo that, so I'm going to launch that bad boy up. And now if I want to go into another app while I'm doing this, how do I do it? Just hit the home screen? Okay, I'm hitting the home screen.
See, if you actually had this iPhone 4, you could use the video call to show it to us.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of a chicken and egg problem.
Who am I going to call?
Right.
Okay. I double-clicked, and now I have a list of all the open apps underneath me, because I'm listening to Pandora, and I have other open apps. This is actually very intuitive.
Now,
I figured out the double-click,
Cool. Is the display really that much sharper? Do you really notice it?
Hold on. Let me look at it next to my other iPhone. It is much brighter. And it's interesting because the whole retina display and the point that he was making is about resolution. And to my eye, it just looks brighter. But I can see that the rendering of the fonts and the text, there are no jaggies. There's no sort of, it's just a really deep black in all of the font and text on the screen. I was sitting next to Molly Wood, and as we were watching the demo play, we were like, can you see a difference? I can't see a difference. I think it's one of those things that you'd have to really put the phones side by side and take a good hard look at the two next to each other.
Have you tried the video? Were you able to open and try iMovie? You still have it in your hand?
I do. Let's try iMovie right now.
Shoot us a little quick video and publish it.
Yeah, there you go.
The iMovie aspect is pretty cool. And I'm actually interested to see how this differs dramatically from the in-phone editing that we saw in the previous iPhones. And I'm guessing that you can import multiple clips is one of the biggest differentials. It's not just clip-by-clip editing.
Right.
So that seems pretty neat. It does seem pretty easy to grab endpoints. I just clicked it once. I grabbed an endpoint, and I was able to trim a little bit off the top. That's pretty sweet. I'm going to fire up the phone now and see what the calling is like. So let's say if I want to make a video call, how would I see myself?
Be able to do that at other stations against the wall.
Ah, they have it set up so that you can call FaceTime to FaceTime on some of the other phones.
Okay.
So I'll be sure and do that, and I'll try and record a video for you, and I'll email it to you. Because that definitely seems like the in-phone editing is one of the coolest features. But, the phone feels smaller, and especially I've got the Evo in my pocket book right here. And when I throw these two, one in one hand and one in the other, the iPhone now seems even smaller than the Evo. The screen on the iPhone looks better than the Evo. It's marked now that I look at those two together. So, I mean, it is interesting that, as other smartphones are catching up, Apple is moving ahead and setting the bar even higher. I think that's kind of fascinating.
Do they have both black and white versions out there?
black and white. Yeah. And the interesting thing about the white is with the stainless steel on the sides, it's not as white. It's not like creepy prom shoes that are rented that are white. You know, it kind of has a nice the whole bezel and the stainless steel on the side gives it a much classier look than sort of white on white that I sometimes feel with the felt with the previous white iPhone 3GS.
All right, Becky. Well, we're going to let you go and finish soaking up the magic. But you're going to be back on Tech News today, right?
You'll hear from me later, guys.
All right. Thanks, Beck.
Thanks.
Have fun out there. Tell Molly I said hello. And do we have, we've been trying over and over to get Clayton on. Do we have him this time? Hello, Clayton?
I am.
Hey!
Hello!
There you are. All right, third time, or fifth time, or seventh time's a charm. So, what did you think? Where were you sitting in the hall?
Well, I was sitting pretty close, and, you know, other than a bunch of the Wi-Fi problems, and a lot of the, you know, little hiccups there, it was really one of the longest keynotes that I can remember in recent memory.
2 hours.
Really, like an hour and a half.
Yeah. It got close to 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was going to be fast when it started off because they got through those developers pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah, went through some of the developers pretty quick. And, you know, I thought we were going to see some other things, though. I was surprised we didn't see Safari. I'm surprised we didn't see anything really other than, anything other than iPhone. There were a bunch of, obviously, a lot of rumors about that, but yeah, just iPhone.
I'm surprised. I'm glad you brought up Safari because I really did think we were going to see a new Safari 5 debuted here. There was a lot of credible rumors. There was also that rumor about the sort of trackpad device that we might see. Do you think we'll still see those later, just not in this keynote?
I don't know. I mean, there was some rumor. There was some speculation at the end of the month they had the center grabbed for another 3 weeks from now. But, you know, he was talking to Gruber a little bit before the show. He seems to think that's something, you know, that may come down the pike pretty soon. That rumor kind of came and went, though. It was about six months ago he was talking about that. I'm surprised we didn't see more of that. And it was really long for it just to be iPhone. But, you know, I think their message here, though, was that iPhone is not, it's not about iPhone anymore. It's a platform. And, you know, it's now across all of these devices, and that's what the real message was, and I think they're taking the ball down the field once again, and extending the platform across all of these devices.
What was the features that really jumped out at you the most when you were looking at these things?
I think I'm standing here holding the phone right now, and I just have to say it is super fast. I mean, it is super fast. And, you know, and even just like playing with just some of the app switching, just how fast and reliable it is. I mean, even when, even just playing with the 3GS as opposed to the 3G, like my parents still have a 3G. Even just playing with the 3GS is super fast compared to the 3G. This just takes it to a whole nother level. Just as quickly as you can take photos, super fast app switching. What I loved about the FaceTime, though, it's just how smart it is, and it works great. So I got a little hands-on time here playing with FaceTime, making a call in here, looking back and forth at different people, and it works really well. Your ability to switch the, from portrait to landscape, then also switch the camera from front to back with one little touch of a button. There's not a lot of clicks to get where you need to go. And that's what I was a little worried about when you add all these little refinements. You know, is it going to take longer? And I played with iMovie for a while, and I know you're going to love that.
Yeah. No, did you find that when you're doing the FaceTime, did you find that the videos were stable enough? You didn't get seasick watching someone holding some little phone.
No, it looked really stable. And, bear in mind, whatever Wi-Fi network they're on out here, things are getting a little choppy. But they've got, I think, about 10 different bays open right now where you're making calls from, like, number 1 to number 8 or number 9 to number 2 across these 10 bays where you can play with the FaceTime features. And the calls are really stable. You can call any of the other folks there, and they're all using the same Wi-Fi network. And even on that setup, it looks really well. It looks really good. And then there was a few little hiccups there, a few little freezes and stuff like that, but that's, I think, to be expected with everyone jumping on this Wi-Fi network.
Yeah, it's the first time we've seen an Apple keynote go south in a long, long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was a lot of pauses, you know, because of that. And I thought, yeah, that's probably the time stretched on quite a bit. And I think, you know, you're looking around and everyone's sort of tentatively deciding whether or not they're going to flip down their laptop, and Steve's just standing there saying, I've got time.
Did you turn yours off?
Kind of looking around. I did. To be a good soldier, I turned it off. jumped on the edge and continued to do some live blogging on my phone.
We had a live audio stream that we were keeping tabs on here, and as soon as he told everyone to shut it off, that audio stream went away. That guy turned his off, too.
Yeah, because, you know, they're going around, as he was asking that, it wasn't as if there weren't other people, you know, Apple employees were coming around the aisles and they were leaning over to say, is that 3G? Is that, you know, are you on 3G okay? Are you on, you know, flip down if you're on Wi-Fi? So they put the kibosh on everyone.
Yeah. Not unusual.
I want to see some of that stuff, you know. We want to see some of the render. I wanted to definitely see how the new Retina display looked. That was one of the most impressive things. I mean, when you get up close and you stand there looking at it, and holding it in your hand, you really get to see great pixel density on this phone. So, you know, it's great because that's one of the problems with reading books on the phone right now. And I know a lot of people do it, and know a lot of people are, you know, using their iPhones to read some of their, you know, Kindle books and you know, stands or whatever else they're using. And the pixel density is a thing that people complain about. They want to see like that crisp text, and I think that's one of the. I think they really hit a home run with that display.
Do you play with anything that takes advantage of the gyroscope?
No, you know, I didn't get a chance to. I'm going to jump back over here and see if I can't play that Jenga game.
Yeah.
You know, first thing that jumped out to me about that was, like, augmented reality stuff. You know, because in New York, I know it's going to be great for games, but I thought of it more for augmented reality. And, you know, in New York, I have a great subway application that I use where if I'm lost, which I'm very often lost, and, you know, you pop out of a building, I'm not sure which subway to take, and I have this one New York City subway, the application that pops up, and I'm turning around, and it's a little sluggish, it's not quite working the way I want to, it's using the accelerometer. And I can imagine now as I turn, using the gyroscope, I turn right to left, I turn, you know, I'm looking at which street I need to go to, that would be a really, you know, a really great functionality for the gyroscope, beyond just the gaming functionality of it.
Yeah, I use that in Yelp a lot, and it's always a little off because it isn't calculating
accurately. It's like it kind of works. Like you're like, this is a great idea, but it doesn't quite work.
Yeah, it's like, I know that's not the direction that taqueria is in.
Right.
Right, yeah. Yeah. And I was playing with some of the games, too. Just super fast load times. I was playing, you know, HD racing. You know, you don't want to be a jackass and hold the phone for too long while other people are getting in here, you know.
Yeah, right. Don't bogart the phone. Well, Clayton, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. Thanks so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry we kept dropping calls there, but, you know. And, you know, that was another thing I have to say. I was waiting for, and I got it. I made a bet with a couple of my friends that we were going to see a number of subtle slaps at Google. And we saw three of them.
Yeah.
Three separate mentions of Android. And a couple subtle slaps at the AT&T network. You know,
yeah.
Sort of as people yelling out offhandedly, and someone yelled out, you know, what should we do here with this network? And someone yells out Verizon. And he said, well, you know, we're not actually, but he's aware of it. And he's sort of like, he's sort of pandering in the crowd a little bit. He sort of, you know, knew that was happening and is aware of it. And that's why we're not going to have FaceTime over 3G anytime soon. So
there's only so much you can do, right?
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. Yeah, appreciate the.
Thank you, Clayton. Yeah, appreciate Clayton Morris of Fox and Friends, and reporting live from the Magic Room. Becky Worley before.
I wonder if their heads hurt if they stay there too long. I mean, there's a distortion field generator that I hear is somewhere near the center of the room.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ryan.
Oh, hey, Ryan Block. This is Tom Merritt.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
Right, we are streaming live on the Twit Network. You got time to give us a couple of your impressions?
I was actually just running down to go talk to somebody else, but I can give you a couple quick ones.
Yeah, just while you're running.
And I hope you can hear me okay, because I'm like right in the middle of all the press. But yeah, I mean, the phone, the screen is, it's really unlike anything I've ever seen before. And I have a feeling you're going to probably hear a lot of people saying that it might become a cliche fairly quick, but I'm really kind of in awe. I've never seen a screen that looks like that. It doesn't look like a screen. It looks like whatever the object is that it's trying to portray. So the text you know, Steve said, kind of looks like how the text would look in a finely printed book. I mean, that's exactly right. It really looks that beautiful. You can, looking at it side by side with an iPhone 3G, it actually really kind of strikes the point home. You can tell just how big of a difference it is. It's massive.
So the screen is the biggest thing that blows you away because it's visual. What did you think of some of the other embellishments, like the gyroscope?
You know, they didn't really have any demo apps on there that I was able to find that could really take advantage of that, so I'm not entirely sure how well the gyroscope works. I'm sure it works fine. You know, it's not an exactly new technology, but we'll have to see kind of how it gets implemented. I mean, the Wii initially launched with an accelerometer like the iPhone did, but it wasn't until they created the Wii Plus that they added the gyroscope for the full six-axis gyroscopic movement. So it's something that's still a little bit newer, and I think people are still kind of playing around with and figuring out how to use.
Do you want one?
I do. You know, I wasn't super stoked on the iPhone 3GS. I mean, it's, you know, it's a capable phone, and the speed difference between the 3G and the 3GS is pretty big. But this device is definitely one that I'm going to have to get.
Yeah. And do you think Veronica will want it too?
Something tells me that she's going to want it.
Yeah.
If only because when she sees mine and she sees the screen and how much smaller it feels, it's pretty hard not to want it.
Do you think people are going to be using that for video chat a whole lot?
You know, I don't know about that. I mean, video chat to me has always been something that's a little bit more intimate. It's not something you can really do in public, at least not without looking kind of ridiculous. And, you know, it's one of those things where when they were showing the video for FaceTime, they showed a video of, you know, of people, you know, having their baby monitor or, you know, showing their young child or doing sign language and saying, I love you. It's very, very intimate moment. And for that, it's great. But, you know, if I were to try to view it on Twitch, that might also be interesting. But other than those kinds of, you know, intimate things and you know, being on your show, I'm not really sure I would use it in kind of the day-to-day calling that I do.
Right, yeah, I can kind of see that too. Well, Ryan, I know we ambushed you there, so we'll let you go. Thanks for taking the time to chat with us.
Yeah, I'm going to keep playing with it. I'll try to call you guys back when I've got a few minutes more and some more impressions.
Okay, thanks, man. That's Ryan Block from Gadget at GDGT.com. I think we also have on the line Don McAllister of Screencasts Online. You there, Don?
Yeah, hi, Tom. Yes, I'm here. I've just got out of the keynote myself. Although I was in the main auditorium, so I've not had a chance to actually put my hands on a phone as yet. But I was sitting with the rest of the developers sort of pairing it off for the first time.
Are your hands sore from all the clapping?
Yeah, it was pretty much like that. Although initially it started, it did quiet down towards the middle, but picked up again towards the end. But I think everyone was pretty impressed, really. A bit strange that they did so much of the demos to begin with. I sort of felt it took a bit of a downward slope then when they started to show some of the the Guitar Hero and stuff, which didn't really seem that appropriate for a gang of developers. But once they got into the meat of the presentation, things quickly turned around.
Well, this is one of the longest keynotes I think that we've seen in quite a long time.
Yeah. I was actually sort of live. I said I wouldn't live blog it when I went in, but once I started, I just started to live tweet, so I actually was using Twitter right the way through, and it's quite a tiring process. It was about an hour and 40, hour and 50 minutes, wasn't it, by the time it completed?
Yeah. Did you, now, were you one of the people who turned off your Wi-Fi to help Steve with the presentation?
Well, I was actually just consuming the Wi-Fi. I think the issue with so many MiFi units, etc., and people using, you know, other networks rather than the actual provided network that was causing the problem. So I actually sort of took it as okay to carry on using the Wi-Fi, not just to, if you had a MiFi unit, you need to switch that off, or if you're using a laptop as a base station, to switch that off. So I don't think he was telling us all to stop blogging or all stop tweeting. It was just really those people who had those external devices.
Kingy in the chat room wants to know what you think the biggest change is for developers with all of this this new iOS 4.
Yeah, it's certainly a big play for a new platform. I think it's quite significant that they've dropped the phone from the title of the OS now. It'll be an iOS 4. Obviously, this is really just the very first, and it's the first public keynote of WWDC. There are lots more keynotes. There's another three keynotes this afternoon which are under NDA.
we'll probably hear a lot more about future developments. And then, of course, the sessions as we move through the week. So I think it's very much establishing the, and once the rename of the OS has been made, you know, we did refer to iOS devices. So sort of treating it as a completely separate platform of new devices. And I think that has quite significant implications for developers. So they're no longer just phone developers or, you know, app developers. They are iOS developers now.
Do you see the gyroscope making a big difference in this process?
I'm not sure. I think the play they made was that it's going to make a big difference in gaming. So I think that was the play they were making. I mean, it looked cool. It looked like a nice, shiny new gadget to play with. I'm not quite sure what the applications are. And again, I think Steve even said, you know, this the demo they put up was just really to show off what it was capable of. He was looking forward to see what other people could actually come up with using that in their own applications.
All right, Dom, well, we'll let you go down to that magic room and get your hands on the iPhone now, but thanks for taking the time to chat with us.
That's no problem. Nice to be on.
All right.
Hey, cheers.
Cheers. That's Dom McAllister of Screencasts Online, helping us with our breaking news coverage of the iPhone announcement of iPhone 4 from WWDC, brought to you by Slingbox. Don't forget, Slingbox lets you watch your home TV anywhere you go on almost any portable device, including an iPhone, iPod Touch via Wi-Fi, BlackBerry, laptop, MacBook. All you do is you go to a place like Best Buy, for instance, buy a Slingbox, bring it home, hook it up to your TV, hook it up to your internet, and then all of the television that you get, all the stuff that you already get at home, you can watch wherever you are over the internet. There's no blackout restrictions. There's no having to pay extra. None of that stuff. You watch programs live from your TV over the internet to your mobile device. Pre-recorded shows from your DVR, too. It takes anything that's there. So all you got to do is check out Slingbox at Best Buy, or go to slingbox.com/twit to pick one up. Alex Lindsay, thanks so much for hanging out again.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This was fun. Couldn't have done it without you.
Oh, thanks.
It would have been awfully boring.
And what's next? Yeah. No, it's this was great.
It's the first time we've actually done something like this together.
Yeah,
it went great. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Go ahead and give a plug to some Pixel Core stuff one more time before we wrap up.
Sure. You know, the big thing is go to pixelcore.tv. This Week in Photography and This Week in Media are the things that were really the audio shows. And then we have, of course, Mac Break. And we've got a bunch of specialty shows if you're into visual effects. And Gear Media Tech has a ton of cool videos from NAB and now coming from Cinegear. So definitely check that out at pixelcore.tv or on iTunes.
Mac Break Weekly is going to be huge tomorrow,
Ooh,
isn't it?
Oh, yeah. We've got Don McAllister. Who else? Don McAllister. And then we'll get
Lisa Bettany, I think.
Lisa Bettany, Andy Anatko. So it's going to be... it's going to be busy tomorrow. It's going to be a busy day here in the studio.
And don't forget Tech News Today coming up at 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 Pacific, right here on Twit. Eric, thanks for running the board and pitching in.
You're welcome.
Definitely couldn't have done it without you either. All right, folks, we're going to go into what are we going to bring up next here in the meantime?
Random reruns.
Just some random reruns. And then we've got This Week at Home Theater coming up at 1:30. Home Theater Geeks, and then Tech News Today at 2:30 Pacific. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We'll talk to you next time.